on this episode of Pottages.
Koichi, like, saying goodbye to his grandma while it's like, free to leave this world. Like,
but she clearly loves Serapimon because they look the same. Like, they're meant for each other. And then Cherubimon's all like, I'm a bunny.
I think JP was leaning in for the kiss, but then saw that Koji wasn't reciprocating and then punched him instead.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about Cherubimon ex Koichi as a ship.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, no!
Welcome to Pottages, episode 404. Welcome to the Dark Nothingness.
Recorded March 12, 2017.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the desolate frontier of nothingness that is Digimon Frontier. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by fellow empty trailmon, Asha McDonnell.
I am the emancipator of darkness.
Asha Soffman.
Chag Purim Sameach! Hey!
Who's apparently trailmon, parenthesis, Jewish, end parenthesis.
Yeah, Jewish trailmon.
And Andrew Soffman.
I'm the midnight train going anywhere.
Nice. That was last arc, wasn't it?
I missed that train. He was cool.
That was a good train.
This week, we're looking at the Rose Morning Star arc of Digimon Frontier with episodes 30 through 37. So here's a quick recap.
In episode 30, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? AKA Red Bull Gives You Wings! Cherubimon gives Duskmon the bird before he is defeated by Emo Soft Rock, while the rest of the kids get repeatedly outsmarted by a newborn baby.
In episode 31, Working on the Train Gang, aka Plot Trailmon Derailed, Takuya abandons his side character babysitting duties to chase after his boyfriend. Left to their own digivices, the side characters beat a dead train full of German accent jokes.
In episode 32, My Brother in Spirit, aka Bros Before KOs, Takuya reunites with his boyfriend and defeats his boyfriend's family baggage.
In episode 33, Ne'er the Twins Shall Meet, aka Darkness After Darkness, Koichi, freed of his Linkin Park brainwashing, becomes the lone lion to Koji's lone wolf.
In episode 34, Operation Free Ofanimon, aka Operation Repeat Info Dump Number 5, the kids reach the source of all corrupted Digimon, trust the first Digimon they meet, and then listen to the only story anyone ever tells about the digital world for the 10th time.
In episode 35, Takuya and Koji's Evolution Revolution, aka Operation Sacrifice Ofanimon, after two episodes on the job, Koichi is laid off from his part-time job as a main character, as the kids play spirit capitalism to redistribute all the spirits to the only two important characters.
In episode 36, Ice Ice Baby,
do-do-do-do-do-do,
or, aka, take a Christopher Walken on the wild side, pushed back by Giant Sword Greymon and Giant Gungarumon, Cherubimon retreats and distracts the kids by summoning that one friend everyone has who thinks they can do a really good Christopher Walken impression.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. In episode 37, Cherubimania, aka The Takuya and Koji Show, Cherubimon rocks our world by destroying a...
Lavender!
...castle. We're left wondering what Koji dreams about, and our two hotshot protagonists finally defeat the Big Bad Bunny. So this arc, loosely it was the Koichi quote-unquote redemption slash transformation arc and the Cherubimon fight. There's the episode where Koichi gets Velgamon form, or Duskmon gets Velgamon form. Then the Trailmon derail episode where they restore Trailmon. Then they defeat Duskmon. Then Duskmon gets purified. Then they meet Ofanimon, get another info dump. Then they get the new unified Emperor Greymon and Magnagurumon forms. They get distracted from the fight with a Ice Devimon episode. And then they finally defeat Cherubimon. That's this arc. What did everyone think?
Oh my god, it was the worst. I have never hated Digimon so much as I hate Digimon right now. I was bored out of my mind. I took an hour nap because I was so bored. Jesus. I swear, if anybody tells me this backstory one more time, I will punch you.
The backstory of what?
Well, back in the day, there was a war between the beast and human Digimon.
Anyway. Koichi fell down some freaking stairs. I'll punch all of you.
But Stairstron is the best character.
Actually, you should really you should read One Piece if you want to to punch everything. Because I'm imagining you doing a Luffy, you know, just like I forget what he calls it, the like thing where he just rapidly punches everything.
Gomu Gomu Gatling Gun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's me.
I was actually like, oh, this finally can finally disprove Ashley's forest thing. Because, okay, I think by now we know there is not one long arc where they're stuck in a forest. There is like...
Oh, but it's definitely this arc.
Right. And I think your like impression of disliking it was accurate and still holds true rewatching it now.
No, they started in a forest, okay?
Right, it started in a forest.
The forest is a metaphor.
And then it became even worse than a forest because there was nothing.
But like the time they're actually like stuck in a forest is like two episodes most. Is like the episode where they get defeated by Duskmon and then they regroup before fighting him again. I think there's only two episodes where they're in a forest for an extended period of time.
I don't care.
But all I need to know is that you're wrong.
No, Asher... No, Asher was right when he was like, I know what Ashley's talking about, and it's just that the landscape never changes for 10 episodes, and that was definitely it.
As soon as they arrive at the Dark Continent, or wait, sorry, not the Dark Continent, the Continent of Darkness, I slipped into my, that's what we're not supposed to call it, the Dark Continent.
Same thing, Jeff. It's the same thing.
But one of them is more reference to Africa, and one of them isn't. So, anyway, they arrive at the Continent of Darkness, and after that, there is some different scenery, but it's, for the most part, it's all this like really dark color palette, and feels very samey. So, yeah, I guess I agree with you on that part. Uh-huh. Have we heard Asher's reaction?
It was boring. Like, what else is there to say?
Like the fight, they just fight forever. They tell you the same story 5 times. I'm like, I don't care.
And like the fights weren't even good. Like, you know how we came into this show, the series, like, oh, these fights are so much better than in previous seasons. Like, they're not just, you know, shooting projectiles at something. But that first episode, also between the fight between, I don't even remember what forms they were anymore, Beowulfmon and Velgamon, I guess. No, Duskmon. It was still Duskmon at this point. That's so boring. Oh my God. It was so bad.
Yeah, I don't know everyone else, but like fights in everything I watch, I always consider to be the most boring part because it's, I'm trying to think like things I have examples, but things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or, let's be more modern. Oh, like The 100 on CW. Like, I'm always just like, yeah, I don't care about this part. Like, I want to know what happened, like, what the outcome is. But, like, usually it's just, like, you don't actually need to know the content of the fight to, like, you don't need to be paying attention to it closely, so.
I mean, what about in, like, Game of Thrones? They do, like, interesting cinematic things with the fights, at least, where you're like, okay, that was cool.
Right, I guess.
Like, there's just nothing cool about this.
Right, I guess that's the, like, the only part where I'm like, okay, that's when a fight is worth it, is when it is super compelling visually, but otherwise, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think these Digimon fights are more interesting than fights in shows like Buffy or The 100, because for those, I'm literally just like, I don't care about this aesthetic, I don't care about what you're doing, like, just tell me who won, who lost, I want to get through the rest of the story. At least Digimon, I'm like, I think the Digimon look cool, and, but,
no. I started skipping all evolutions except like new ones. I was like, fine, I'll sit here through this animation sequence. And I would always accidentally skip the very beginning of the fight. And I was like, I don't care. I'm not going back for that. Like, just accept that.
Like, I mean, I think part of my like, I don't think I've said my general feeling, because I don't know what my general feeling is. I didn't dislike it as much as everyone else. And I feel like a large part of that comes from the fact that I watched it while studying Japanese, so like the parts that are like, oh, it's drag and it goes on for too long or whatever, I'm just like, yep, I'm just studying Japanese, so cool, like I got through like 10 reviews, cool, like I don't know.
So you can only watch a Digimon if you're doing something else too?
A little, not only, but I think it elevates the experience.
Uh-huh.
Any other general impressions?
I hate it. Also, I don't understand this graph that you made. Okay.
So I made a graph and I put it in our show notes, and it'll be on the show notes you can view, episodeofpettages.com/404. And I wanted to look at the plotting of each season and where they have the first champion, ultimate, mega, etc. evolutions. So that's what this graph is showing. And what are you confused about?
I don't. Why are there separated dots?
So it's confusing because aside from basically adventure, tamers, and savers, each season has weird oddities. Like adventure, tamers, and savers are the only ones that are like here, like very discreetly, a champion form, an ultimate form, and a mega form. The 02 and Frontier both have like weirdness. And I mean, even Frontier, including them in this breakdown, is they never call them, you know, champion, ultimate, mega, and it's just a matter of how you classify them. So adventure, I classified the first Armor Evolution as champion, and then the second Armor Evolution as champion 2, and their actual champion as champion 3, which is what those dots are. And for Frontier, I classified the human spirit as champion, and their beast spirits as champion 2, and then the fusion spirits as ultimate, the, what do they call it? Do they call it union? Unity spirit? The
union.
Union forms as mega, and then the last thing that we haven't gotten to yet as Mega 2. So for most of these seasons, there was actually a Mega 2 aside from Adventure. Like Imperial Demon Fighter mode, Gallimon Crimson mode, the thing in this season, Burst modes and Savers. So, I don't know if it's really shown, what kind of light it's shown on anything.
So showed me that they reach Mega faster and faster?
Yeah, I mean, the Megas keep getting slower and slower, slowly decreasing. Like, they're still around the 35 to 40 mark, although in Savers it definitely comes sooner, but...
Savers looks like they're just like, just do everything faster.
Yeah, I think they just like spread it out more evenly. Like it's, the other season is all kind of erratic, but Savers is just like, it seems very kind of predictable. It's like every blank number of episodes release a new form. Event 02 is definitely one that's like, there's such a kind of a random assortment. And Tamer is definitely weird for the very, very early ultimate form. That's definitely an outlier in that regard. Like the line for ultimate form just goes like up and then down, up and then down.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess also, like, if you classify the beast spirits as ultimate forms, then Frontier would be the lowest for that. Like, it would go up for 02 and then back down, like, way down Frontier at episode 10, and then up a little bit for Savers. So, yeah. Anyway, and there's not much else to glean from that. I was wondering, in this arc, we got the first, what I think is the most easily identified as mega form. And I was wondering, is it early or late for that? And looking at this, it's like early compared to Adventure, but it's been slowly being pushed up in the season since Adventure anyway, so it's pretty standard. And nothing in the rest of the season has been that strange, even though they don't call them any of those terms.
Yes.
Ashley, you didn't do... I thought in your intro you were going to do the thing.
Do what thing?
So Ashley, the other day, how did this come up?
I don't know.
She apparently told me that... She's been practicing a Chubumon impersonation.
Well, because that's what I said, the line that he says. I just didn't try to do an impersonation because...
But I was like, wait, I guess this is on like Saturday or something where like we've been in the same apartment the whole time. And I was like, when were you practicing that? And apparently she was doing it while I was in the living room and she was in the bedroom doing it quietly so I wouldn't hear. It's just like...
I was also like watching it. You had Zelda on. There were other things to like... make it not
it's really like the image in my mind of Ashley quietly impersonating Chubumon, but not loudly enough that I would hear it. Ashley, can you try it now?
No.
Well, you have to try it before the end of the episode.
Nope.
How would Chubumon say nope?
Nope.
I can't do it.
Exactly. You can't get the right reverb off of it.
Nope.
That's pretty good. I mean, it's better than ours.
I'm like,
wasn't quite it.
I'm absolutely terrible at impersonations. I've actually like wondered if there are like things I can like practice or something to like just get to like a baseline level of, because there's like a running joke on the Shonen Jump podcast where they have like little bits, like paragraphs that other people have written to read, and they'll be like, oh, Jeff, read this in this other host who's not on today's voice, and I'll be like, in my mind I'll have this image of how the voice is, and then the thing that comes out of my mouth is just completely wrong and absurd and ridiculous. And
is that why they keep asking you?
Yes.
You so wrong.
Yeah, I keep wondering, like, I should practice. I don't know how to practice just image. I guess if I just keep doing it, but I feel silly sitting in a bedroom quietly impersonating Chubumon.
You're never going to get Chubumon. Chubumon's really hard.
Okay, I have a joke.
Yeah.
No.
It's not as good as the Duskmon one, but what does Takuya's fusion spirit say when he wants to cheer everyone in the group up?
You're all the best.
We're all the Mon.
Asher basically got it.
Okay, I must just have a couple of things that I'm like, we need to talk about this.
Do we? Okay.
The emo soft rock Koichi insert song.
That's so good, though.
Not even was Tamer's got a song.
They put in the effort to make that song, okay? A+.
So that's the thing. I was like, listening to it, I'm like, oh my god, this is so bad. This is so cringeworthily bad. And then I looked into it and I was like, oh, is they actually like translated the inserts, like the actual Japanese insert song or character song into, and they're like, oh, well, I appreciate, I like value it much more based on that. But I still, in the moment, if I hadn't known that it is, you know, like from the Japanese, it's just the like, it's so like, oh, darkness, my soul. I wonder if I can find it on YouTube. Did no one else find it cringeworthy?
I wasn't listening.
They get a consolation prize for trying.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's like, if it was like that in the original, but just in Japanese, like, whatever.
What? What is it, Grandma?
You need
like,
to
like Koichi, like, saying goodbye to his grandma while it's like, free to leave this world. Like, it sounds like Nickelback, actually. I think that's why it seems so absurd.
It's like knockoff Nickelback, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right here.
Koichi.
I want to know if it's actual Nickelback.
My soul! And then Zogman has to scream, of course.
Does Evanescence play?
Maybe it would be better if it didn't sound like Nickelback.
I mean, is emo soft rock an appropriate terminology, Ashley? Like classification? Is it soft rock?
I mean, there's probably some better thing for it, but sure.
Yeah, I think it's just because Nickelback has become so derided, and it does sound so similar to Nickelback.
Poor Nickelback. I don't really understand why everybody hates you that much, but like, all right.
It's not. Yeah, I like Nickelback.
Yeah, I don't entirely either.
I don't care.
And this is how
I'm
we lose a bunch of listeners.
I like Nickelback. Like, I think they're
controversial opinion. Nickelback isn't so bad.
Yeah, Nickelback isn't the worst thing ever. I don't know.
Yeah, like, oh, what was their one album? The one with the Saving Me on it. I didn't think most of that album was so bad.
I don't know which one that is, but I'll believe you.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I wish I got apparently didn't get a screenshot of it. Yeah. But when Beowulfmon scans Duskmon and he's just like holding the Digibytes as Beowulfmon, did anyone else notice how weird it looked? No? Okay.
No.
Keep moving on. We have to talk about the Christopher Walken impression. I don't think we're not allowed to go without talking about that.
Must we?
Why was Ice Devimon even why? Why did any of it? Why?
Digimon has a long legacy. Digimon dub has the U.S. English Digimon dub has a long legacy of these like side episodic villains having like impersonations of famous Hollywood actors. Like Cherrymon is Marlon Brando, and there are lots of ones that aren't as like that you need to kind of know more about older movies and stuff to recognize. But they've certainly been around for a while. This one was the first one where I was like, it just you can't like.
You just can't.
you can't watch it without seeing Christopher Walken. Like, the others, I feel like Cherrymon having Marlon Brando's voice. It's like, this is weird. But, like, he is like an old tree with a giant tree mustache or whatever. Like, but Ice Devimon talking like Christopher Walken is just like, I guess there must be people who have never seen Christopher Walken or anything who saw this and were just like, I don't know what they thought. But I think to anyone who's seen Christopher Walken, like, there's no way to disassociate that. And
I mean, to be honest, I'm really bad with actors. So like, I only really got it after looking up Andrew saying Christopher Walken.
Oh, okay. So what did you think until you looked up who it was?
I mean, I was, at first it actually sounded like the first line that he said, I was like, is he doing some weird off-brand Edamon voice? But then eventually I was like, no, this is some weird other distinctive
did you recognize the voice and just not know who the name was?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I recognized the voice.
I found it. Okay. Whoever wrote it somewhere in the some of the episode titles is.
Oh, that was when you.
The only. Oh, that was you?
That was me. I thought days ago Andrew had mentioned Christopher Walken.
I don't think I recognized Christopher Walken.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm just like, all my theories are just.
No. Okay. The thing that I thought, what was super weird about it for me was that, like, we've seen Ice Devimon before in Tamers, had a different voice. So I was like, well, okay. I don't know.
I mean, Digimon having new voices is pretty standard.
Sure. But it felt like they were both being hyped up to be, like, bigger baddies than they actually ended up being. And.
I guess this one was. I was like, oh yeah, they hyped him up pretty well.
This one was like, super hyped up. It was like, even Cherubimon couldn't beat him. Right. So like, in, the
yeah, in retrospect, even Cherubimon couldn't beat him. Like, no, like that doesn't make any sense. So I'll have a link in the show notes, and I don't know, I guess maybe y'all can watch it later after the recording, which is a like SNL sketch of a bunch of people impersonating Christopher Walken, which is, I think, maybe the first time
is he in? Like, what should I recognize him from?
Apparently he's in Annie Hall as the brother of Annie Hall, and I don't remember this.
I would not have watched that, so.
So, actually, I don't think there are any, like, distinct, like, clear, like, oh, this is a definitive role we should know him from. I only know him from him being an actor that people are supposed to know. Like, because I think his heyday is from a while ago. Like, in the, like, I can't find just a list of movies, but I think it was probably more in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
I mean, yeah, looking at his Wikipedia article, I'm like, I don't think I've seen any of the movies that are listed at the top as, like, here are the things he's been in.
Right, but they're all, like, famous movies. Apparently he was in Catch Me If You Can, which I've seen and did not remember him. But...
He's in Kangaroo Jack.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know any of these.
Yeah. It just has, like, he has such a distinctive voice that I think most people know him because of the voice. At least I did.
Well, good for you. But I think the other weird thing is that Tamer's Ice Devimon was voiced by Matt/Takuya. Is that true?
I think so.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
Right. So now it's just like, I don't care, Digimon. I just don't care.
Okay. I don't see how the voice is different. Therefore, that makes you feel like, I just don't care. The only other weird voice thing is, I didn't check this, but like, I'm pretty sure the brief glimpse of Lucimon we got at the end was Izzy's voice.
It is. Mona Marshall.
Also not sounding very different from Izzy. And that was pretty bizarre.
I was like, oh, Izzy, now you're evil. That's cool.
This is the alternate timeline Izzy who didn't become like a tech entrepreneur at like 14, but instead became a neat and stayed inside his apartment all the time and fell into darkness.
No, it's the Izzy that never got his curiosity back.
I like mine better.
Yeah.
Since this is the first time we've actually met Koichi, what is everyone's impressions of Koichi?
He's not interesting.
He's really not.
Boring. Boring.
You know how we were complaining about how Koji was like this annoying Ryo character who like is good at everything and no, Koichi is that character. He comes in late. He's super powerful. He's the Green Ranger. By the way, one of the kids today at the Purim Spiel was dressed as the Green Ranger and I was like, "Kid, I used to respect you."
But now
it's okay. He's in fifth grade. I guess I can accept that.
Wait, a kid got a Green Ranger costume in this age?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the more recent Green Rangers and not one I could tell you what it was because I don't watch Power Rangers, but yes.
Oh, not a...
No, not Mighty Morphin, I don't think. I mean, it's been a long time since I Power Rangered, Andrew. Like, I can only identify them by color.
I think it's Power Ranged.
Ah.
Powered Range? Powered...
No, I don't believe so.
I think it's a stretch to say he's worse than Ryo. I don't think he's, like, presented as that competent.
No. I don't think he's worse than Ryo. I'm saying that's the character archetype. I'm saying he's worse than Koji.
Mm.
He's definitely more boring than... Okay. My favorite moment was when it was revealed that Koji had a dog and that dog totally pwned him.
It was a good moment.
So good.
Yeah, I was like, I don't Koji does not have the, only Koji would have a dog. That does not seem. Like, I guess I associate dogs with being somewhat, at least somewhat extroverted. Like, it's not true that, like, every dog owner is, like, you can't be a dog owner if you're introverted, but, like.
I am a dog owner. What the heck, Jeff?
Just, but, like, you're not emo about it. Like, Koji being,
okay,
like.
No.
I'm the way he acted at the beginning of the season,
yeah,
is not the way a dog owner would act.
Okay, what? No. First of all, his thing is wolves. Why wouldn't he have a dog?
Wolves are cats.
What?
Wait, am I confused? Am I just wrong?
Well, I think you're confused, Jeff.
Okay, sure, fine. Go
wolves
for it. Go.
Are dogs.
Lions are cats. Okay.
Yes.
Well, technically, yes.
Is that like a thing you seriously were confused about, Jeff?
Jeff, do we have to prescribe a kimono? Kimono?
I'm not watching Kimono Friends.
Kimono Mimi?
No, Kimono Friends.
I'm not watching Kimono Friends.
Yes, you are.
I'm even less inclined to watch it now that you explained that it is furry adjacent.
Wait, is this with the little, the 5-minute episode? Like, it was really cute?
No, this is the current anime where you learn about animals.
Oh.
And for some reason, it's really popular. I don't, anyway. What were we talking
about? Jeff doesn't want
Koichi.
To know.
Koichi, yeah. Yeah, he is the, like, stereotypical. Yeah, I think he might be the most, like, plain vanilla implementation of the archetype that Digimon has had. Because all the other, when we talked about, like, you know, whatever, the fifth ranger or sixth ranger or whatever that trope is called, like, all the ones that qualify, like, Gatomon, Kari, Ken, Ryo, Impmon, they all have, like, weird caveats where, like, it doesn't really quite fit the formula. But, Koichi is, like, just the formula.
He's also just, I don't know, just so boring.
Yeah, there's just not much to him.
It's like he's the epitome of darkness because he missed his brother?
Yeah.
No, it's more complicated than that, but.
Sure, I still feel like there was just, like, your parents sucked.
But before we like got the full reveal of his parents, I was okay. What we've been laid out was that like Koji's dad remarried after his mom died.
But she didn't die.
No, that's what was spelled out. And I was like, how are they, like, I remember that Koji had a brother, and I was like, how do we get to that point? What crazy twist is there to explain how there is another child that they don't know, but like, what is, and the twist is just, his dad just totally lied to him about his mom being dead. And like, I was also, I guess we also saw,
which is bananas, by the way.
we saw Koichi talking to his grandmother before we saw the mom still alive. So I assumed actually that it was like that their mom died and then they split up the kids and sent one of them to the grandmother and sent the other one to the father. And I'm like, okay, maybe I could see them not explaining the brother, maybe in that situation. But like the mom still being alive, it's all,
it's weird.
Also, like, how did they come to the arrangement to split them up and who got who? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, that's totally a plausible thing that could, I mean, that's the same situation that happens with TK and Matt.
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm
not even close.
Okay, I'm not talking about the like, and then they will never see each other. Neither will they meet or whatever. I'm talking about the like, each one gets primary custody of one kid. That at least, and like how they get split up and choosing who gets whom. At least that's like in the Japanese culture, which other Digimon seasons have shown us, does not seem too implausible. Them never meeting and not knowing about each other like that is. I don't know how that would be, like, I don't think that would be dictated in the legal code, though. You know what I mean? Like, if they get sole custody to each parent, I don't think the law would dictate, and they must know about each other, and they must see each other, and they must know about the other parent.
I don't think this is a real thing.
Yeah, this seems really weird.
No, I don't.
This is definitely a Digimon thing.
I'm saying I don't think that a law would forbid it. I'm saying this would never happen because, like, you have to be a shitty, you have to be a terrible person to do this. But I don't think the law would, like, make this implausible. It's just implausible because it's, like, characters, people wouldn't act that way.
How does divorce work in Japan?
Yeah, this just seems really...
Well, I'm pretty sure what they do is they have to pretend that one of the parents is dead and brainwash the kids, and then one of them has to fall downstairs and get sent to the digital world.
None of this makes sense.
In contrast to the family from the divorced family in Adventure, TK and Matt, it's so like the contrast between like how real their family felt and they had like real, whereas this is like such a contrived scenario. And yeah,
right, like what is the motivations for them lying like that? Like that's so weird.
and I assume it's never really addressed.
Also, how does this benefit her?
Her being the mom?
Yeah, because she's working like multiple like part-time jobs just to support him.
Oh, I assume it was not a good breakup, and I don't know. I don't think we're going to get any more out of exploring the plausibility. Also, like, so Koichi being fueled by darkness because of those negative feelings, I totally understand. And him being, you know, like, used by Trubimon makes sense to me, but like, yeah, him being like the epitome of darkness because of this, like, no, like, but also like they haven't really, I don't think any of the characters, they've implied that like they need to have a strong, like, it's not like Takuya needs to be fiery or JP needs to be lightning-y, Zoe needs to be windy, Tommy needs to be snowy. Like,
Tommy definitely needs to be snowy.
I mean, I guess Takuya being fiery, I could see that is his character. Zoe being windy, I could see from a sexist perspective.
She's a light breeze.
Right. Like, that's how girls are. They're just breezy. Easy breezy cover girl.
The word you're looking for is flighty.
Flighty.
Yeah. Ow. That's what I thought that too.
I don't think they ever spell it out as being a crest situation where it's he, but they do say things about this thing they say about Koichi being
the light darkness. Boy, the light boy.
Oh yeah, that.
Light.
Who the heck was that?
Padamon? That wasn't you?
No.
Oh my god, Padamon joined the call.
Yeah, Padamon's just here.
Looking for the light boy. My highlights from this arc, just to end the general segment.
There are no highlights.
My highlights from this arc are...
They don't exist.
Okay, when someone says my blank and you just interrupt, be like, no.
You're wrong. Your opinions are wrong.
Okay, does anyone else... Ashley has no highlights. Does anyone else have any highlights?
I told you my highlight, and it was Koji getting pwned by a dog.
I've always been pretty fond of the very end of the last episode, where, like, Takuya's carrying Koji back to the group, and...
And he shifts shoulders.
That's not... Yeah, I that never was my ship, but that moment is super cute. Like,
they deserve each other.
They do, actually.
Okay, so my highlight was the... As much as it is Ashley's... Well, I don't think Ashley's the only one frustrated with the info dump. The first half of it was the same story that we've always gotten every time, and it's incredibly frustrating. They keep repeating the same bit. But the second half and the look at... stuff that happened with Trubimon and Ofanimon and Zarafimon before his turn, I thought was...
Okay, no, I was way more bored by Koji and Koichi's backstory being repeated and them just being like, are you my brother? Are you my brother? The brother, though. Brother, what? I don't understand. No,
just really bad at connecting the dots in story plot points.
Yeah, I think it's mostly that they had a bunch of time they needed to stretch it out, and you can stretch it out by having them not really make the connections.
Like, how dense can you be, Koji? How dense are you?
There was one moment that I appreciated where, like, before he really knows what's going on, he's like, is he a dark version of me?
Yeah, like, that was kind of cool.
I like that because it's like, the parameters that have been laid out is just like, what weird twist is, there is some huge twist going on. And like, from his perspective, like, finding out that he has a secret brother is just as plausible as there being a mirror version of him or something. You know, like, so right. I like that. And
I think it's less plausible.
You're right. And I'm fine with it. But just like... You get the thing, Koichi, like, Trubimon, you show Koichi's backstory. Well, it's like, you see him go down the steps a million times, and Takuya's like, yeah, I remember that too. And it's just like, oh, it's just all of you shut up. And then, like...
But also, Takuya wasn't there for him falling down the steps. He didn't see him fall down the steps.
Yeah, but he saw him run away from the elevator.
Yeah, he saw him run away from the elevator, which triggers that whole sequence again.
Right.
And then you get to see it from, like, okay, this is what happened when Koichi, like, met Cherubimon. But then, like, that sequence is also repeated later for some weird reason. I'm just like, no, stop it.
Okay, well, skipping past Ashley's ranting, I was saying what my highlight was. My highlight was the info dump being... surprised, like, I don't know, I guess because we heard the same story over and over so many times, the fact there was more to it, I found interesting. And the stuff, I mean, we have a segment to talk about it later. So all the stuff we're going to talk about, having there being like surprising extra, it's not like a huge layer, but some extra layer of depth to the start of the digital world was cool. And also, Chibimon's plan, the bit where, I forget when exactly it is, like, I think it's after they try to, when they're trying to free Ofanimon, and then he's just like, cool, you've all assembled, this was my plan from the beginning, like, the fact that you defeated all of the dark legendary warriors, like, that was my plan to, like, my whole plan all along was just to get all 10 spirits here, or 20, or whatever it is. He sent out the dark legendary warriors to find the spirits, but also didn't, like, Seraphimon had hid the other spirits, and so by getting Ofanimon to activate the good spirits and then having them hunt down Shribimon, he assembled all of them, the ones that he couldn't get because Seraphimon was the only one who knew about where they were. So I was like, that is actually a totally plausible and coherent, and it's both surprising in the context of the show and surprising on the meta level that Digimon has a coherent plan for a villain. So
yeah, but the plan doesn't go exactly as he wants, considering they
sure
got
he
lose him.
Yeah, he lose. No. Them getting to him was what he wanted. Them unlocking the Unity evolution, I think, is the part where then he wasn't able to take them on anymore at that level.
I'm pretty sure he would rather have his followers bring the spirits to him, and rather than a bunch of kids bring them to him.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying, is that, like, his initial, like, his, like, first level plan was send out my followers to find them. Second level backup plan that also is just as good is have my warriors defeated by things that then collect their spirits and then bring all the spirits to me. Like, all he cares about is getting all the spirits. He doesn't care about Ranimon being gone now or whatever. Now it is time for Coastal Clash, our vaguely Family Feud-inspired game show segment. This time we are trying an alternative formula for the game show segment, which is inspired by, I don't know how you describe it, the traditional rounds of Family Feud instead of the fast money round at the end. So the way this structure will work is we'll have, in the way this works in the show, is you have teams, but for our podcast version, it will still be one person against one person, and there'll be a face-off. So I will ask the question, and then each of the contestants has to buzz in. Whoever buzzes in first gets to answer, and then if that answer is correct, it goes on the board. The other person then also gets to answer, and whoever got the answer with the most, the most votes, the most points, gets control of the question, and then they get to keep guessing until they get all five, or until they fill in the top five. And if they get, in the TV show, it's three strikes. But for our version, since there are, why did we decide to do this? Because there's only one person guessing. We're only going to have two strikes. And then once you hit two strikes, then control of the question goes to the other person. And they have to fill in the remaining five questions. And then at the end, we tally up the points based on the number of votes out of 100 survey answers. That part's the same. Ashley and Asher both have buzzers. The buzzers are just shouting Pokemon and Namon. And whoever gets their buzzer in first gets first pick at answering. If they get the top choice, then they get to choose if they keep answering or pass to the other person. And if they don't get the top choice, then the other person also gets to pick something. And whoever has the higher answer then gets to choose to keep answering or to pass it. So then whoever gets control of the question answers until they either fill out the board, which for most of these is the top five answers, or they get two strikes. Once they get two strikes, then it passes to the other person, other team. And all they have to do at that point is get one right, anywhere on the board, anywhere in the remaining positions on the board. If they get any of those, then they get all of the points on the board that have been revealed so far. I think in practice, it'll be clear what's going on. Maybe not so much because we don't have an actual board to look at. And you have to wait until I finish the question.
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
Okay, so you can just shout it at any point.
Yeah. That's what people get screwed over because they don't wait until the end.
And then I'll repeat the question after that?
I mean, yeah, you can repeat the question after
okay. So if you interrupt me, then I'll repeat it for the next person. But first question. What is the best romantic relationship in Digimon?
Pokemon.
Okay, Ashley?
Ty and Matt.
Correct. That is number two answer.
Balls.
With 13 points.
It's only the second?
Balls.
So now, Asher, you get a chance to answer. If you get the top one, then you get control of the question.
TK and Kari?
Yep, that is number one. 16.
Oh! Seriously?
I actually can't believe that's the winner over Matt and Ty.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised too.
I won't.
Do I keep going? What happens?
Yeah, okay.
Now?
So now you either get to keep answering. There are three more slots to fill in. You can either try to get those right, or you can, and then if you get all those right, then you get all the points. Or if you end up getting two strikes, then Ashley would have a chance to fill in the remaining slots and then steal all the points. Or you can decide that you don't want to risk that and just pass to Ashley, and then Ashley has to do that, but then you have the chance to steal from her.
All right. Okay, no, I'm not... I think this question is a dangerous one between me and Ashley, so I think I have to keep going. All right. All of Digimon, is this including seasons we haven't seen?
It could. I'm not going to say if it does or doesn't. Yeah. Oh.
That's okay. That's actually balls for both of us. All right, whatever. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Ty and Sora.
That's number three.
Of course it is.
That was what I expected to be number one, actually, if it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought that. Oh, jeez.
Two more answers.
Davis and, what's his name, Ken. All right.
Yep, that's fifth place.
Okay.
6 points.
Oh, that's only fifth?
Fourth and fifth place are tied, so.
Oh, okay.
And you have two strikes. So you have zero now. You could have two strikes.
Right.
You have one chance to miss, I guess.
Yeah. You could mess up right now and be fine.
Right. Takuya and Koji? Oh, no!
So one more chance.
Should we narrow it down?
No, cheating.
Takato and Jerry. Yes!
Oh, damn it.
Asher shipping corner strikes again.
Garbage right here.
Ashley felt so proud of herself for guessing Matt and Ty in the face off.
Well, I would have thought that'd be right, given the demographics of fan fiction, but I guess our listener demographic is different.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising.
I thought it would be right, given Try recently.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. So people who can't actually physically see the board, first, number one was Tika and Kari with 16, Matt and Ty with second place 13, Ty and Sora with 9, Takato and Jerry with 6, and Davis and Ken with 6. Good job, Escher.
I'm also, cracking up that you still write ships with an X, in between them.
So I had to do that because I was trying to find a way to consolidate, because everyone answers in totally different formats.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it'll be the two names alphabetically these aren't written though. But anyway, yeah.
Wait, what's the cool new way to write ship names? Just to always mash them together?
It actually depends on the fandom. But this is not the way I've ever seen Digimon ships done, actually. This reminds me of back when the bulk of fanfiction happened on fanfiction.net and not on Tumblr and Archive of Our Own.
Oh, interesting.
Slashes are popular.
I assumed you meant it was even before fanfiction.net. It was
But isn't Slash different?
I wasn't aware of fanfiction before fanfiction.net, so I don't know what to tell you.
There are also some funny answers I want to read, Gilmon and Bread. Oh. Takato's parents. That's sweet.
Is Joe and his girlfriend on there? Because that's I almost said that. Oh, good.
I was afraid that Koshiro and Mimi would be.
I was
the
too.
Top
I
one.
Was really nervous. The top one. I don't think.
No,
anybody...
no, not the top one, but in the top five.
Oh God, I was worried that it would be there too, and I was like, I'm glad that our listeners have some taste.
not enough taste to put Kaito first.
Well,
TK and Kari is
like
an acceptable
TK,
answer.
Yeah. TK and Kari, I'm okay with that being higher than Taito.
One of the answers was the dub and its terrible infatuation with bad puns.
Wow.
Yeah, a little bit of a jab there. Apocalypse and pizza.
What? We're going back 2 years, guys. Come on.
Arukenimon and Mummymon.
Really?
Nice.
These are one-off answers, right? And
Kazu and
Kenta.
But still.
Kazu and Kenta.
All right. Yes. I could get behind that.
I could see it.
I wouldn't call it the best, but...
Okay, second question. Do you have your buzzers ready?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What is the best fight in Digimon?
Namon. Namon.
Okay.
Yes.
Asher, ready to go?
Metal Garurumon and War Greymon.
Oh, snaps.
Well, these people have no taste. I take it back.
Myotismon and... What fights Myotismon? Greymon and Metal Garurumon? No. What do they fuse into?
Oh my god.
So, well, Ashley, what happens now?
We just said that the... Well, I guess Asher gets to go again.
Oh, we don't have to buzz back in?
Yeah, you just keep guessing? Do you go in turns?
I think so. Oh, I think actually in the show, if this had happened, then it would go down, like, the two contestants that are up there wouldn't get to say anything more. It would go down the line or something.
Oh, okay. But, like, so it should be, like, people. It should be, like, Asher gets one pick, then you get one pick.
Okay.
And then, okay.
We just discussed how the fights are the worst part of this. God.
Yeah, like, jeez. Are there good fights in Digimon? Yeah, what the fuck is this? Can I ask a clarifying question about, like, the format of the answers? Like, is it something versus something else for the most part?
Some of them are, but some of them are just, like, it's clear what fight you're talking about by just naming the one thing they're fighting.
So it's like a boss fight is some of them, like the name of the boss. Okay. This is so garbage. Namon. Oh, do I not have to buzz in? I don't understand. Okay. Anjemon and Devimon. Wow, that was Devimon is what I meant. What?
Okay. What's the name of the amalgamation Digimon that Ken makes?
Chimeramon.
Chimeramon. What the hell is that? Wait, so when I said Myotismon, like, really? That was... No? I don't understand.
It's not your turn!
No, but I was asking a clarifying question of, like, when I said Myotismon. Like, there were no fights with Myotismon. That makes no sense. That's garbage.
Do movies count?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's his face? Diaboromon. Yay!
Oh my god.
That's the second place.
Second place!
Also, I get to try again. Great.
So that's second place with 13.
Holy garbage. All right.
So Ashley gets one more pick.
Can I just say Cherubimon? We fight him sometimes.
No, they fight him too many times.
What?
Okay.
Calm so down. Now...
You all said so many wrong picks. Okay, so now it goes.
I get to choose whether to pass or not, right? I choose to pass.
That's the smart answer. That is definitely the smart answer.
Yeah, in this situation, totally. Oh, there's not going to be much to steal. Man. What was that?
Doesn't matter. Like, the likelihood of him winning is so high. Apocrymon.
Okay. Ashley said, I'm trying to do the game show hosty stuff. Ashley said,
no,
Apocrymon. Survey says...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That was such a bad fight.
Such garbage. So
that was fourth place. Fourth place with 6 points. They're still first, third, and fifth on the board.
Oh my god. What the freaking hell? Holy Jesus.
I want to repeat the question just to clarify. The question is, what is the best fight in Digimon?
Do I get to say, like, Ken versus Takato or TK?
Yeah, say Ken versus Takato.
Ken versus TK.
Oh my god, Takato would get his poor butt kicked.
Okay, so what was your pick? Ken versus TK?
Yeah.
Survey says third place with 9 points.
Ooh.
Frick, what is first place?
I think I know, but it's your turn.
Oh, you know it. It has to be something with Matt and Ty. Matt and Ty. just gonna say that.
Matt and Ty. Survey says.
Yes.
Fifth place.
Oh, well, I'm glad people at least recognize that Ken versus TK is way better than Ty versus Matt.
What is first place? Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, it has to be something super obvious. I'm just, like, totally blanking on.
Now I'm, like, trying to remember the entirety of Digimon.
Yeah, wait, is it in a season that I have not seen?
It is a season that you have seen.
Okay.
Within the last year.
Wow, that's
cheating. Andrew, stop clarifying.
That was cheating.
Yeah, in the show itself, Steve Harvey doesn't even know what the answers are.
That means it was Tamers or Frontier. What did they fight in Tamers? I don't want to say Juggernaut, but like, I guess I'll say that.
Survey says.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Juggernaut's your answer?
Yeah. Damn it.
So you've got. Wait, you got one more strike.
Ashley, you remember that like the thing they fight at the end is the D Reaper, not Juggernaut, right?
Oh, damn it! That's what I meant to say. Oh, damn. But now I don't want to say it because it's probably wrong. Oh, but I'm going to do D Reaper.
Are you going to do it? Are you sure?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, damn it, Jeff. Asher's going to get it and it's going to be so sad.
Okay. Survey says.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Okay, Ash, you have one chance to steal. What happens if stealing doesn't work? No one gets it?
I get the points.
Oh, you get the points. Okay.
I get all the points if Ash can't.
Okay, so the total of points you've gotten so far is.
I mean,
it's
not enough, yes.
You've gotten 34 points so far.
Do I get two strikes or one?
No, you only get one. This is all or nothing, man. I mean, you've already won. I don't see why you care.
I want all the You're points, like, Ashley. Oh, you don't understand.
Okay. You're just like, I just need to destroy
I'm a,
you.
I'm a Scorpio and a snake, Ashley.
So Ashley, if you get this right, then you get some number of points greater than 34. If you get it wrong, then Ashley gets 34 points.
Right.
Just laying the stakes out.
Yes. Yeah. I just want all the points. It doesn't matter how many there are.
I can't believe I set you up to get all of them. This is like...
Best fight Digimon. It's something multiple people answered this answer.
You know it's something from Tamers or Frontier because of Andrew's cheating.
Yeah. But I don't think anything was good in Tamers and Frontier.
It has to be from Tamers.
Yeah. Yeah. It does have to be from Tamers. Except, but like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, but why isn't it from season two?
I actually was going to guess, like,
Mallow
Davis
Myers one, right?
No, I was going to guess Davis versus TK or something garbage like that.
No, that was a garbage fight. Nobody cares about that.
Wait, when did that happen?
They fought, like, once. Actually, yeah. No, they didn't even. Davis just refused to get TK's name right for, like,
half season. They punch each other.
No, they fought they punched each other at some point.
Oh, yeah. That was in, the friendship episode.
Oh, yes. The
that was in Vima, I'm Your Friend.
Yeah. So what do you say, Asher?
I don't like
I don't like it. That's what I have to say. Tamers?
Is that your final answer? Tamers?
I honestly can't even remember. Like, I'm like, there was...
Were there fights in Tamers? I don't know.
What do people like about Tamers?
No more answer, Andrew.
Oh.
Was that a hint? Because for me, that's a question. Like, a real question.
That was a cheating, because now I know what it is.
Rika and Ryo?
Their final answer?
Oh, my God, that's not what it is.
That's my final answer, because I don't remember Tamers already.
Survey says...
It was Beelzemon.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah, it was Gatlan versus Beelzemon.
I liked our old Coastal Clash. This is taking forever. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's stressful.
I mean, we could if we were concerned about length, just do one question. But
yeah, but the point structure is not as fun. Like, there's
it's
no...
It's really
like,
not.
Huh. I thought it was more fun this way. Like, there seemed to be more laughter and stuff.
Sure, but it took too long, and
yeah,
it's
more
very
fun
stressful.
Because we're both here to, like, riff off of each other.
Yeah.
But then, like, the competitive aspect of it is, like, well, I get all or nothing, and that's not as fun. Like,
I guess so. Okay.
Might have been fun from a listening perspective, not so much fun to be playing it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you altered the rules so that every single one has to be a face-off?
No, that's way too stressful, competitive. I don't like facing off directly. I prefer when we don't hear each other's answers until the end. I like competition and winning, but I don't like fighting. I don't like confrontation.
So what should we do with the second, if we're not going to do this in the next, for 405 and 406, what should we do with the second two answers? Just questions, just let them die.
Let them die.
What were they, out of curiosity?
Are you sure we should let them die?
Can we do
a face-off? Just like, you each have to pick one?
Doesn't Ashley need to catch a plane today?
I don't have to leave until like 9 p.m.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll just do one face-off. All
right. Ugh, fine.
Okay, so Pokemon and Amon.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, we're doing another one?
Just the face-off.
Not for real points. Okay.
Which Digimon character most deserves the crest of friendship?
That's a tough one. Name on.
Asher, go.
Izzy. What?
Okay. Interesting. What Digimon character? Takato?
That was number one. That was a fourth.
Yeah.
Is Guillemon his friend?
Yes.
Guillemon, I'm your friend.
Bullseye, baby.
I don't even need a soundboard.
Yeah, it's just that.
No one's saying Lavender, though.
It's just so Lavender.
All right, what's the fourth question, then?
Okay, buzzer's ready. Which Digimon character would be the most into Pokemon if Pokemon existed in their world?
Namon.
Okay.
TK.
That's second place.
What?
With 9 points.
Ooh. Izzy?
Ram.
I'm not sure if that's right or not, because in my personal notes, extended the board, because I didn't realize the board could have more than 5 answers on the show. Like, sometimes it has more than 5.
Yeah. Right?
So I was like, I initially only had it having the top 4, but then I was like, maybe I should have the top 6. So Izzy was 5th place, or 5th, it was tied 5th and 6th. So, and the thing that Andrew's seeing is only 4. And, what did Ash say?
I said TK.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you won, regardless.
Well, yeah. Was he not number 1? I thought he was number 2.
He was number 2, but Ashley guessed number 5.
Oh. Well, who's number 1?
Number 1 was Takato.
Oh, duh.
Oh.
That's actually a very... I understand that one.
Actually, everyone is wrong, because it would be Rika.
Yeah.
No.
I think it might be too cutesy for her.
It's not competitive enough, maybe.
And too much friend... I mean, no, Pokemon gets very competitive. Don't. But I think it's... It has gotten less competitive over the years. It's gotten very friendship and chill, so...
Friendship and chill?
Like, old school Pokemon. Maybe Rika would have beaten Takato to, like, the interest, but I think Takato actually would be more into it than she is.
Oh, there were also a couple, there are some notable funny answers for the other question. So, for what's the best fight in Digimon, one of them was Dub vs. Sub.
That one's good.
And which character most deserves the crest of friendship? There were 2 different people saying anyone but Matt. And
wow!
one of them, the full response was, anyone but Matt. Oh God, just anyone but Matt. Could Mimi have 2? TK, heck, even Joe does more for his friends than Matt.
Wow!
But what about Davis? What about Davis?
Did Davis get any votes for that? I don't think Davis didn't get any votes.
I think Matt is better than Davis. I actually like Matt with the crest of friendship. Okay.
One of the answers was Sora totally friend-zoning Yamato and Tai.
Good! She deserves better!
So who most deserves crest of friendship? Last answer was Puppetmon.
What?
Amazing.
Oh, also for the ship question, one of the answers threw me off guard because I totally forgot. It was an answer from Cross Wars, one vote. But so the main character of Cross Wars is Taiki, right? And then the first group.
Or Mikey.
Well, Taiki's actually Mikey, but the first group that he's with, the girl is Angie in the dub, but in the Japanese is Akari. So the ship name is Taikari.
No!
Which is like, yeah. I think we broke Ash. And then, so for the Digimon character who will be most into Pokemon, some of the funny answers, all the tamers, but mostly Henry because they only faint. That's kind of sweet.
It's actually also not entirely true because, like, you totally kill Blue's Raticate.
Okay.
That's why he beats up on you in Lavender Town.
That's why he's there.
Yeah.
That's why it's...
I guess he doesn't actually attack you in Lavender Town. Does he? I don't remember.
I don't think he does. No, he does.
That's why...
It's just so Lavender
Town.
Okay. Also, Mimi, because they're cute and collectible, or Tommy, TK likes the hats.
TK likes the hats?
TK does like the hats.
Ken, as the Digimon Emperor, enslaving all those monsters and putting them in capsules and only sending them out to fight, definitely Emperor-level stuff.
That is some pretty Emperor-level stuff. It is true.
Oh boy, the highest, like, for any of these questions, the only thing that, like, converged the most was Decado for that Digimon character most in Pokemon.
Yeah, that one's legit.
I respect you, question. I got you wrong, but I respect you.
Yeah. Plus, I keep completely forgetting that Tamers exists, despite spending so long on that season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Tamers had so many villains that I was like, okay, they're the 13 thingies, but none of those are good. Like, what? I don't understand.
They're not,
like,
even 13, it's 12.
There's 12.
Whatever. There's a cat one in my mind.
The answer to best fight was Kyo versus Yuki.
That's the best ship ash.
Yes.
Oh, no. You're right. I forgot. No.
Wrong.
No, it's not. It's really not.
So now for a segment which we have in our doc titled Laws, Legends, and Love.
I think it's appropriate.
Ashley has thoroughly described the segment as, it's the only thing worth talking about.
Yep.
So that's...
true. Yeah, legit.
So okay, describing the title, explaining the title, people maybe haven't watched the episodes recently. I think the main thing Ashley wanted to talk about was how the three branches of the Digimon government, Cherubimon, Ophanimon, Seraphimon. Seraphimon is supposed to be in charge of law and order. Cherubimon in charge of, what was it, Ashley? Knowledge and lore?
Knowledge
and legends.
Legends, yes.
And Ophanimon was in charge of life and love. Which,
because she's a...
Yeah. Yeah.
I vomit.
Wait, was that one of the... Was the gender aspect of it one of the things you want to talk about?
I mean, I get... It's just so obvious. Like, the things that make me mad in Frontier about gender are just like, are you even trying now? Like, are you...
Yeah. In case it's not clear, having a division like this and one female character, and to assign the female one the role of life and love.
I mean, honestly, no matter what she got, it would have been bad because there's just one female character. I mean, how many war goddesses are there? A lot. Mm. A lot. So, like, representation is garbage.
Yeah.
Stop making there be one girl.
But going on more, because I think it's pretty clear why. I mean, I guess some people might push back and say, like, but women are, like, you know, in all sorts of legends and mythology associated with taking care of the household. So, like, what's wrong about this? But
it's not really more. It's not religion. It's culture completely all over.
Yeah. Right. And, like, if you're hearkening, like, you mentioned, like, war goddesses, like, she's designed after, like, she seems to be reminiscent of, like, Roman goddesses, which have, like, a whole range of things they covered. And it was not just, like, household. I think, like, Zeus is even, like, I'm pretty sure Zeus is supposed to be the god. Oh, Zeus is not the Roman name, the Greek name. It's supposed to be the god of, like, the household and the hearth. So, like, that's not even, like, if you're going to, like, I don't know, I guess you wouldn't say that Western mythology would inform this Japanese Eastern show anyway. But, yeah, it's not, like, clear, like, oh, well, obviously there's going to be this household thing. It's going to be female role. And it just reinforces culture in a gross way. Moving on from that, though, I thought, okay, I just want to, I know I'm at risk of getting punched out by Ashley for mentioning this, but I want to...
Oh, are you? Can I punch you? Let's go.
I want to describe the... So the way I saw it, there are basically, like, four eras to the digital world. There's the first era they describe of there just being war between human Digimon and beast Digimon. And that war was stopped by Lucimon, who came in and then ruled over everything and was evil. And I guess they don't describe there being a war associated with that. It was just Lucimon was just really bad and was terrorizing people and stuff. And then Lucimon was defeated by the Legendary Warriors. And then the Legendary Warriors, after they defeated Lucimon, put Seraphimon, Ophanimon, and Cherubimon in place as leaders. And then what we get, like, that's been spelled out to us all these different times. And then we know that Cherubimon went evil and stuff. What is new to this arc is the explanation, the revelation of how Cherubimon went bad. And also, to me, what I thought was the most surprising was that, like, one of the things he did was revive the human versus beast spirit, or human versus beast Digimon war, or rivalry, or whatever, tension. Like, what we see is that one of the things fueling his descent into evil is a frustration that the two of the three celestial Digimon, two of them are human type and one of them is beast type, and he feels excluded because of that, and like the desires of the beast Digimon are not being represented by there's an imbalance in power. And then he gets all the beast Digimon on his side and then has the beast Digimon attack. What does everyone think about that reveal?
It doesn't seem to have to do anything with the plot at hand.
That's like, true.
it has no actual bearing on anything.
It's true, actually.
In fact, it has more to do with the movie that we haven't watched yet than the actual show.
Yes.
It makes sense on its own, but then, yeah, what you're shown of the digital world is like, okay, but the beast spirits and the human spirit type Digimon or whatever, like, there's no ongoing...
Wait, don't say spirits. Like, we kind of autocomplete, and like, I think you just said those accidentally, like, I kind of autocomplete to say, like, beast spirit, no, I don't mean spirit, I mean beast Digimon. Like, we don't see any rivalry or, like, contention in the villages they go to. I mean, I guess most of the Digimon we see are human type?
Actually, I think that's not true. I think most of the ones we see are beast type.
Even in towns?
I'm thinking about the towns. We see a lot of babies, which aren't anything.
They could be either.
The Floramon and the Mushroommon, like, what are those? They're plants. I don't understand this categorization system, actually.
Are they humanly plants or beastly plants? That's the distinction.
I would put them beasts, though.
I guess, but they're standing upright.
They actually probably do have a classification. Mushroommon.
I mean, what I find kind of interesting about
Digimon.
It feels almost like the only distinction that they have in the Frontier universe is beast or human. So it's like, well, Cherubimon needed some kind of...
All right, Mushroommon is not in this dichotomy, apparently. Let's check out Floramon.
Is this dichotomy listed on Wikipedia or Digimon Wikis?
Usually.
I don't know if it is.
Pages for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't seem complete at all.
Right. They don't classify everyone. Because it's not a, like, traditional category.
Actually, there doesn't seem to be a human type page.
Anyway, it feels a little bit creatively bankrupt to be like, well, we need some kind of rivalry between Digimon. I guess the only way we can divide them is human or beast. Let's do that again.
Kumamon is a beast man, so take that as you will.
I feel like actually what it... So Cherubimon's the whatever thing that he's in charge of.
The representative of beasts.
What? Is that what he says he is? Right. He is, I mean, he is the one of the three that is beast, but also the fact that he's in charge of knowledge and legends or lore or whatever. And yeah, I mean, it makes sense that because he's beast himself, that, you know, it's plausible this contention never really died after the Lucimon stuff. But the fact that he's in charge of legend, he's in charge of past stuff. He's in charge of, like, knowledge of the past. And it kind of makes sense to me that he would then let these old grudges persist into the present. And just the parallels to our current society seem a little striking, you know, that we have someone who ran, we have in the US have a president who ran on a platform of returning people to the past and reviving old tension. Obviously, okay. This isn't like trying to mirror that, but I think both things are reflecting a reality in the way society operates.
Sure, but that wasn't his initial goal. Was like, Seraphimon and Ophanimon, I told you a thing, like, this is not what the beast Digimon are like, or think, or, like, see the world, but you don't believe my reality, and now you seem to be conspiring against me, so now I'm gonna be mad, and, like, revive this war.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of inevitable that, like, having that imbalance of two human-type Digimon and one beast-type Digimon is always going to be, like, one side that's not represented well.
That's why I'm like, Digimon, why did you implement this system? It doesn't make sense.
Because there aren't any other angels.
Well, they had one, but then they killed him and imprisoned
they
him.
They did?
Well, I mean, they imprisoned him. Lusamon was angelic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But he's not a type of angel. He's like a named angel. That's different.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think both of those, like in the lore that we get repeated over and over, we have two different types of government, and both of them are shown to be like Lusamon ruling on his own and Shubimon, Sarathamon, and Ophanimon ruling together. And it portrays both of them as going sour and being bad. And I guess they don't, maybe we'll get some more explanation later on like why Lusamon turned bad. But I think it's just supposed to be like, yeah, he was a bad leader. Like he got
so government is bad. Let's just get rid of government.
Yeah, government is bad. Maybe
anarchy! I was
thinking it was going for like, it was saying is that like if you have kind of an odd number, like having one or three are inevitably bad and others maybe aren't so bad. But I guess you could also draw the pattern that like governments is bad. Just don't have rulers.
What is just dictatorship or checks and balances? Well, neither work. So just go.
Yeah.
Run rampant, my little friends.
No, just have white saviors come in from the human world and then.
Yeah.
Right. Not white.
Not white saviors. White savior narrative reminiscent of the white savior narrative. They are human savers, not literal white savers. Yes, this is my legal disclaimer.
good.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I found interesting about it is that, like, we always, in terms of, like, the time period that the show is set in and everything, and the way I at least think about it, is that the legendary warriors are this, like, distant past that they're, the spirits are the only thing that are in the present day, and, like, the legendary warriors themselves are, like, distant past and, you know, are a totally different era and stuff. But it's weird to realize that, like, Sarathamon, Ophanimon, and Shubimon are in both eras. Like, they're put into power, or whatever, by the legendary warriors. And so, like, this conflict, Shubimon trying to hunt down the spirits. Like, Shubimon was, like, buddy-buddy with the legendary warriors themselves before they only existed as spirits. So, like, that seems like an interesting angle that I guess isn't really explored by the narrative at all. But, like, once I broke down the different eras and thought about it a bit more, I'm like, that's strange. Because, you know, you don't really think about how, like, how that would have worked out. But also, it's not like the show would ever explore that.
Show's not good like that.
Do you have other things to say, Ashley?
No, I was mostly like, wow, Digimon, you made some sort of compelling backstory. And you just, of course, you squandered it, but like, that's nice. It was very interesting to me that Shubimon also did not like seem to particularly hate Sarathamon. Which then I was like, do you hate law and order or is it romantic feelings? Because like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how much. So there's that one comment from Zoe that definitely turns it towards that like romantic jealousy angle.
Mm-hmm. Also, the faces he makes are very.
Yeah. Even without her saying that, I was like, is this the vibe I'm getting?
Yeah, that is definitely the vibe. And I find it, the idea that a conflict like this would have been sparked by romantic jealousy, romantic tension, is frustrating, I think, because it's like, I don't know what about that.
I mean,
is
that's
so frustrating.
How
like,
politics go.
You saying that's not how politics go?
No, it is how politics go.
I hope not. They hope like any modern real life politics haven't been influenced by that. I mean, like if you're talking about like the Trojan War in fictional.
I mean, sure, but like,
Rome,
would
but...
you say that Digimon is more analogous to current politics than it is to like?
No. So I guess, yeah, great. And just a side note, because it might be in the edit, I did not mean ancient Rome, I meant ancient Greece. Ancient Rome did not exist in the time of the Trojan War. Anyway, yeah, I guess it is closer to those legends and stories, so I guess it makes sense to be fueled
I think,
by those.
Oh, the other thing that I wanted to point out, actually, was that there is a point in which Koji, to Koichi, says, like, oh, what does he say exactly? He's like, why do you fight on the side of evil? You're human, just like me. And I was like, humanness and evilness are not mutually exclusive things. Like, why is the show trying to make this a thing?
I guess the way the show has split up everything is, like, there are humans fighting for good, and there are evil Digimon. So why would you be bad if you're human? That's how morality works, right?
Totally. Yeah. Well, they set it up as, like, the good people in the end are the human-type Digimon.
Oh, well, that too. I was just thinking of, like, yeah, there's that other layer of human versus Digimon reflecting human Digimon versus Beast Digimon. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that level.
Yeah. So it's like, why are you trying to make this parallel? I don't like it.
I mean, I think at that point they weren't really going for the human versus Beast thing, so that wasn't... Human versus Beast thing didn't really get brought up again until they actually got to Ophanimon. Even then, it's always in the backstory. I think it's just like we naturally think of things like ourselves as good and things not like ourselves, things that are more other as bad. And so unintentionally, the script falls into things like that accidentally, you know, just like...
You can't be accidentally like, hey, humans, you're the good ones. Like,
you're similar to me. Shouldn't you be good too? And like, we're similar because we're both humans in this foreign world. Like, I think there's the reason things like that come up, and I don't think they realize when they're writing things like that, that like, it steps on the feet of the whole human versus beast dichotomy that the series is also playing with awkwardly.
Oh, Digimon.
but going back to the romantic angle, like, ugh, I guess it just, the vibe I got, and maybe I like read into things and maybe this wasn't a valid or the only reading, but the vibe I got was that, you know, like Trubimon had that's what I'm looking for when like it's not returned. Unrequited. Yeah.
Unrequited. Unrequited.
Yeah, the Trubimon had unrequited feelings for Ofanimon, and a conflict like this spiraling up from that. Ugh. It's not like he's portrayed as being good for it or anything, right? But like the idea that like someone's jealous romance and like kind of like vaguely reminiscent of good guy syndrome-y, but that would spiral into like this just feels,
I mean, I don't think that was like the primary thing. Like if it is partially that, I think it's only a part.
I guess I'm saying like the vibe I got was just, it was a part, it was an aspect of it, but I still find it kind of gross for it to be an aspect of it.
I mean, sure. It's weird.
I guess when I think about things like that, though, I'm like, it's not like the show was portraying that. It's not like they're portraying the idea of having unrequited feelings and being mad about them and like literally holding that person captive afterwards. It's not like they're portraying that as good, right? So like, why am I frustrated with it? I'm not frustrated with it because it's sending a signal that's a good thing to do. I don't quite know why. It feels gross and it feels, but isn't that what you're supposed to do to make the people feel grossed out by the villain?
I guess. I mean, again, if there's a beast and human type dichotomy, I'm just kind of like, what are the boundaries of them liking each other? Are Digimon supposed to like each other? Like, I don't... Like, there are many layers to it that I'm like, I don't understand.
Boys and girls always like each other. There's no...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's how all romance works. You have a boy and a girl. It transcends animal types. It's always boy and girl. Always boy and girl.
But she clearly loves Serapimon because they look the same. Like they're meant for each other. And then she runs on like, I'm a bunny.
It's not like they're literal twins or anything.
Yeah. Oh, not thinking of them as siblings. And now that's kind of gross.
Yep. I'm glad I ruined that for you.
Asher's so proud of himself.
I'm super proud of myself.
Wait, you know what I just realized would be the perfect answer to like a long-standing Digimon fandom contentious issue, and an answer to the things you brought up in this episode about the balance of power and stuff? It shouldn't just be Ofanimon. Ofanimon should be able to go back and forth between Ofanimon and Holygermon or Magnagermon or whatever, and just like be
How
able to exist
fix
in both.
Anything?
No, because then she would exist in both, and there wouldn't be two human spirits and or two human Digimon and one beast Digimon. It would be one human, one beast, and one that was both.
Actually, I think it would complicate matters even further, because then what if she spent any difference of time between the two forms? Like, she would be favoring one over the other, and that would be like a willful choice. And it could, point is, this was garbage policy to begin with.
who do we blame? We blame the legendary warriors for putting it in place, right?
I guess.
Oh, and they just disappear afterward? Like, they set them up and they just, like, fade away into spirits? Like, no.
Yes.
And then I guess we're supposed to believe that Serapimon, for whatever reason, Serapimon is the only one who knows where the spirits end up. And then he communicates that to Ofanimon. I think they do imply that Ofanimon, like, sets the human kids up to find the spirits, and that's why they find them so easily. Now we have a Patreon topic from a couple different Patreonmon this time, and a couple different questions. So the first question from Marcus was, do you believe that Frontier handles Koichi's path into evil / darkness well?
No.
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 God, no.
And to just clarify, this, we're thinking of this topic as the path to darkness.
Path to darkness.
The path to Kingdom Hearts.
The path to Kingdom
Hearts. No, because now I know that Kingdom Hearts is light.
Light.
No, without a doubt. You forgot without a doubt.
Look, I never actually got to that point in the game.
It's okay. They redefine what Kingdom Hearts is like 20 times, so.
Right.
It's not light?
I know now. Kingdom Hearts is a giant thing floating in the sky that we send hearts to that I don't know is the thing that we're all fighting for, but we're all misguided and we're all just doing it to get hearts, but we actually all had hearts the whole time.
Okay. Why do I believe that Frontier doesn't handle... Well, I feel like we touched on it earlier in just that, like... His feelings for the situation that he was put in are valid. The situation that he is put in with his parents is just bananas, though. It makes no sense narratively.
Him being having an emo side because of it, sure. I also think, like, I think I mentioned it in 403, which wasn't out at the time this question was asked, but, right, I talked about how, like, the Dark Trailmon being linked to, like, what I suspect happened is, however Koichi got there, was the Dark Trailmon was involved in that, so he ended up in Cherubimon's area, and under Cherubimon's influence, and so, like, him getting the Spirit of Darkness makes sense. We even get, like, a little bit of explanation of Cherubimon trying to link lots of other Digimon with the Spirit of Darkness, right, and failing.
Yes.
And that, like, Koichi was the, perfect candidate. So, and like I spotted before, like, I think it's really neat to think of Cherubimon being the guiding influence on Koichi, similarly to how Ofanimon was to the kids, that, like, he just ended up in Cherubimon territory and then went down this dark path instead.
Sure, I still don't know what happened to all them other kids, but, like, cool. They're just wandering around.
Yeah, there's not much land for them to wander around anymore, but we'll get to that eventually. It actually is a thing in the show.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of garbage that, like, Koichi and the ground are apparently not friends. Like, I fell down some stairs and then I ended up on the path to darkness. It's like, okay. And then in this episode when it's like, he's like, you go first, JP, and then the ground gives out underneath him. I'm like, oh, come on, this boy. I just cannot even with this boy.
I mean, sure, it seems heavy-handed, but, like, the moment that it's set up clearly to be, like, to have a moment of him falling and then Koji saving him, and...
It's so heavy-handed, though.
It's heavy-handed, but it's like, I think that message that, like, he didn't have anyone to help him before, and now he does. It's sweet, I like it.
No. All right, you
Asher,
like whatever
what's your
you
opinion?
Want,
what's
you're
your
wrong.
Verdict?
On what exactly?
on the moment where Koichi falls, like, the ground falls out from under Koichi, and then Koji saves him. If it's sweet or heavy-handed.
I actually don't even remember that moment, so...
when you say it's heavy-handed, I'm like, I don't think it's heavy-handed, because I think it's something that, like, people might miss, even.
Yeah, you miss it, because it's just so garbage.
I mean, it sounds heavy-handed. But I really don't remember.
what was the context? They were getting on to something.
They were getting on to something and the ground fell out. I would find it heavy-handed if what, like, it happened and then Koichi said to himself, Koji saved me. I have someone to save me now. I've come so far from when I fell last time and no one was there to save me.
That sounds heavy-handed. Like, right. The little inner monologue thing, like, that makes it heavy-handed. But, I mean, given the number of times people fall down in this show, like, it's no more, the act itself is no more heavy-handed than anything else.
Honestly, everyone should be dead.
Well, yeah. They're all digital constructs in a digital world, so you can write off everything. We had a related question from Alvaro Crimson Mode, which was, do you guys think that having Koichi and Koji be brothers is necessary to the plot?
Yes, but only because this plot is so damn lazy that they were like, oh, we need a reason why these kids just won't hate Koichi once he turns good. Make him Koji's brother. Yes. Perfect. Great.
I mean,
I don't know if it's necessary. I don't think anything like that is necessary, but I think I like it because I like the different kinds of brothers we have in this show. I like
series.
That. Series. Fine. Whatever. That's actually a good point. I always like thinking about brothers.
Boo. You think about me all the time?
No.
Yeah, you think
I'm like thinking about you.
Not real brothers. Just that's
not
why,
real
that's
brothers.
Why he thinks about fictional brothers, to not have to think about his real brother.
Yeah.
So I push back on Ashley's point about, like, that's the only reason that they would come to forgive him. I do think maybe it was it works as a shortcut in that aspect, because maybe it would have taken longer to build up or whatever. But I don't think, like, Dasuan, you know, beat them down and was a really intimidating villain. But it's not like he did anything that was so irredeemable. Like, I don't think if he was anyone that was like, oh, and now there's a human form and I regret what I did, I don't think they'd be like, no, what you did was terrible. Like, he didn't do anything on the level of Ken or Beelzemon or any of these characters that they had on a redemption arc.
All he really did was hit Koji a bunch of times, and like, everyone's guilty of that.
Well, also, he caused trauma for Takuya for one episode.
Nobody cares about that.
It's true.
They've all forgot about it. He doesn't even tell them about it happening.
Yeah, like, he's the only
one. Yeah, he's like, wait, I saw him too on the train that one time. What?
And everyone's like, what?
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Like, saying that he saw him on the train is, like, fine, plausible. But he says, like, but it was, like, in the past, but he explains something about it, like, halfway explains that he time-traveled, and then no one questions it. It's like, okay.
Yep.
Perfect. And I think it's I don't know, it seems like a fallacious argument, actually, to, like, to talk, because, like, him being a brother is not, like, a thing thrown in the last minute. Like, it feels like it's been hinted at for a while. I mean,
yeah, it's still lazy. Once it happens, like, all of their dialogue is so painful, like, I'm sorry, like, maybe Koichi knows something about Cherubimon's true plans. Sorry, I don't know anything. And then Takuya's just like, okay, anyway, like, let's move on. It just feels like a lazy way to be like, oh, we must accept him because he's Koichi's brother, but like,
Something would have happened eventually. Just like a little, only would have taken a little bit longer. So, like, and since it ties into so many other things, to fault it because it is a shortcut in that one aspect seems unfair. Anyway, our last question from Marcus. If you guys had a choice between light and dark spirits, which one would you choose and why? Dark's always cooler.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, dark. You're so wrong. First of all, wolves are way cooler than lions.
Oh, yeah. I guess we have to choose between. Well, that's the thing, like, dark. Okay, I meant for this to come up earlier, and I totally forgot about it. But, like, what do we think about there being a purified spirit of darkness? Because
I like it.
Oh no.
Sells toys.
Kind of like, what does this mean, though?
But, like, the pure, like, I mean, okay, I guess what is it? Jaeger Loemon is cooler.
Jaeger Loemon.
Jaeger.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he is cooler than Velgamon, because Velgamon was, I guess it's really just boils down to, like, Dasuman was too cool for his own good, like, because Velgamon was also disappointing, and then Loemon was disappointing, and then, I mean, Jaeger Loemon
is okay, but why does he have, like, a reload trigger that goes off on his back all the time? I'm like, no, I don't accept that.
I don't remember that.
It's like to reload his shots.
And I do like how, like, the symmetry, they never really use it. They never really visually put them together. But the symmetry between Lobemon and Loemon and Kendogurumon and Jaeger Loemon is neat. And the fact that it's like lion and wolf, whatever. I like that. But they never employ that because Koji doesn't need to go into those forms anymore by this point. But it's just like, yeah, I think it all just boils down to Duskmon being, everything about Duskmon was implemented so well.
You were like, I just want to be Duskmon.
Yeah, but like,
I would choose dark and then I would be Duskmon, but I'd be like a way cooler version of Duskmon. Like, I'd be more like Black War Greymon levels of fun.
I'd be like Evanescence and not Linkin Park Duskmon.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And if I'd be like a Koichi that is, I can't even think of another example, something else that's not Nickelback.
You'd be the Blink-182 to the Nickelback or something.
And now it's time for a quick diversion with a Transgarbled iTunes review. We take your 5-star iTunes reviews and transgarble them by translating back and forth between Japanese. What I found this time is actually that Google Translate has gotten too good and does not butcher it anymore enough. So what I used to do is, like, try going back and forth between different languages that aren't Japanese. This time I just went to Bing Translate, which I'm like, yes, Bing Translate, you're breaking it. Great. That's what I needed.
That is the most amazing plug for Google Translate I've ever heard.
Google Translate. Too good at translating. Stop it.
So, Ashley, can you read? Or Asher. Asher is the best voice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just his own girlfriend.
Title. Yay, Digimon! Great podcast for anyone who can't get enough of Digimon. The hosts are very fun and do a great job examining and analyzing the franchise as a whole, with the perfect mix of love and some realistic criticism for Digimon. If you are at all a fan of Digimon, this podcast is a must. This is a really nice review.
Yeah, that's
sweet. Aw, Asher's like genuinely touched by this.
I'm moved.
My life cycle with reviews, like, I'll read it around the time when it comes in. I'll be like, oh my god, that's so, oh my god, like, that means so much to me. And then I'll, like, after months, like, totally forget about it. And then I'll find it again and be like, oh, I forgot about this. It was so nice. So, and the transgarbled version is, so the new title is
A Good Digimon.
Okay. We're a good Digimon, apparently.
Digimon, we're good.
Good. It's
good.
The wonderful podcast for those who do not have a Digimon.
Well,
it's true. We do provide our podcasting services to people who do not have Digimon. That is true. Yes. And I assume if you had a Digimon, you wouldn't need to listen to Digimon podcasts.
If you have a Digimon, please come talk to us.
Yeah.
Host is the great love and are looking for a comfortable franchise. Digimon are some perfect mix of practical criticism.
The first part of that sounded kind of like the sexual ones we used to get. I like it.
Host is the great love and are looking for a comfortable. Like, yeah, like what you're, it sounds like those.
I'm looking for a comfortable franchise. What about you?
The world needs more comfortable franchises.
Yeah. Well, I need more comfortable franchises, is what I'm saying.
This podcast is required in all Digimon fans.
In. Yep. Yep.
it's required in Digimon fans. It's like we have to put it inside them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Shipping corner.
Oh no! Why are you oh-no-ing my shipping corner?
Yeah, why?
I didn't write down Ash or shipping corner.
I know, it's everybody's shipping corner.
But it's mostly Ash.
It's mostly me. Except most of these points were not made by me.
They were just things that
they were made by Jeff.
Okay, the first one I wrote down was Cherubimon, Crushimon, and Afunimon, which we talked about at length before.
Right.
Zoe X Koichi? What?
See, that's the danger of shipping goggles, because every time characters stand next to each other or look at each other from across the screen.
There's a moment, it's in the Ice Devimon episode. I can't remember exactly what happens or they say whatever, but like she's in his face. Like, I think she's like congratulating him for doing something, and she's like, oh, hi, like, all up in his face. If you guys even notice the scene, then it's not that strong of a ship.
My thing that I wrote down was like, oh, JP must be so excited to have Zephyrmon just like be that close to him.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That sure was a thing.
That sure was a thing. That.
It was in the episode with Ofani, where Ofanimon, whatever, died.
There's one I didn't write down. I'm wondering if anyone else picked up on it.
JP and Zoe?
No. Close, but not quite.
I don't know.
Ofanimon and Zephyrmon. No?
No.
All right, I don't know where you're looking then.
It was when, oh, I can't remember the line exactly, because it was like part of, like, the way the line was phrased was part of it was, it's before they send off Takuya and Koji to go fight just by themselves in the last episode. Yeah. And
Tommy and Takuya?
No.
I've been shipping that for a while, but not anymore, because Takuya's clearly got a boyfriend.
I wish I could find the line, because it's like, oh, no, wait, I can, like, because it's something, Koji says something awkward, and then, like, there's an awkward reply and response, and there's, like, physical contact. Okay, here it is.
JP and Koji?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. JP and Koji.
So it's when they send them off, and JP says, like, oh, we'll be here rooting for you, and it's awkward, and it's weird, and it's like, whatever. You're literally cheerleaders at this point. But then Koji replies...
Oh, and they punch each other?
No, Koji replies, wow, I'm touched. And then JP says, like, mimics him and says, I'm touched. Touch this. And then, like, fake punches him. And I'm like, okay, this is... And like, but like, until it, cause it's pretty zoomed out in first cut when he goes to punch him and it's like, he like leans into his face and it's like in the abstract being like, touch this. It like seems like he's leaning in for the kiss. And
It's dirty.
Wow, well, touched. Touch this. It's totally touch like this. A totally a romance novel kind of thing to say.
You never read a romance novel. Don't even talk to me.
Don't Nicholas Sparks books count?
His books are like not like...
It's not trashy enough.
Yeah, like basically was what I was trying to say.
Asher has no thoughts on Koji and JP.
Not really.
That one doesn't get him excited.
That one doesn't do it for me. JP,
I think JP was leaning in for the kiss, but then saw that Koji wasn't reciprocating and then punched him instead.
No.
Zoe and Takuya was definitely... Well, Takuya and Zoe. Primarily Takuya. I mean, we don't like the scene, his...
Yeah, his dream idyllic, sequence.
Yeah, his dream sequence.
My headcanon is that Koji was having the same dream, but like he was with Zoe.
No, wait.
I mean, what I assumed back then, but who knows?
Wait. I'm confused because actually, you said two things. One by mistake, and I think the one you said by mistake was actually a more interesting thing. So what you corrected yourself to say was that he had the same dream where he was also in Zoe's lap, right?
Yes.
But by mistake, you said where he was Zoe, which I think was what everyone actually wants.
No, I didn't. Ooh, I like that.
I said where he was Takuya.
I like that. No, I like that.
No, by mistake, you started. Like, so yeah, I think Takuya's head on Koji's lap is what everyone really wants.
It's certainly what Takuya wants.
Takuya's head on Koji's lap.
He doesn't know how to express it yet.
Yeah, he's too young.
But I was imagining, but it's Koji's dream. Koji doesn't necessarily want that.
Nowadays I assume that Koji, like, probably dreamed about his family being happy or something. Boring.
Oh.
Wow.
Boring.
Way to bring down shipping corner by talking about family.
Yeah. What is this?
This is shipping corner. You're supposed to, even family is supposed to be like, Koichi and Koji.
No, not in my shipping corner.
Wait, what? I don't agree that there's more evidence for Takuya ex-Koji than
Zoe. I was hoping with them fighting just the two of them, I was hoping for more bromance, and I didn't really feel much bromance.
I think there's just a lot of Takuya being like focused on Koji in these episodes and not so much interaction actually between Zoe and Takuya because they were separated for a bunch of episodes.
I guess I'll agree with that. I did like in the early episodes when Koji just runs off and is like, I must find Dustman. And then they like don't immediately chase him. And I'm like, you guys, you've missed your opportunity here. Like, don't try to find him. And Takuya's like, I have to go find Koji.
Like, why didn't they all go after it? What was the point of having them stay there?
I don't know. Jesus.
Yeah. I thought I remembered him saying that's because they don't have the higher evolution forms, but no, it doesn't.
I think it's really... also just because Patamon is too slow and Takuya was like, I need to run to catch up with him. Like, yeah, you needed to run like 5 minutes ago. A good plan.
Wait, no, Ashley, I think you're getting timelines mixed up. There's a whole episode in between. Because like in the episode...
No, I know.
In episode 30, Koji like fights Duskwan for the whole episode while Takuya and Ko are distracted with a
and
like,
then they meet up with him and they're there for like 3 minutes and then he's like, I have to go find Duskwan.
Yeah, he like spaces out for a while. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, and they're all talking about like, oh, it's great. Now we're all together. We can go to the Rose Morning Star. And then Koji's like not paying attention and he goes.
He's just like, I must find Duskmon, and then he runs away, and then like all of them are like, where is he going? But none of them try to immediately chase him, so it's like, all right, now you're just all gonna be wandering around because you didn't like take charge immediately.
I just really like my joke from the recap of Takuya abandoning his babysitting duties to chase after his boyfriend.
Yep.
Okay. Asher agrees.
It's literal.
Yep.
Oh, I guess this is kind of taking, like, bumming things out from the shipping corner, but, like, the idea of Takuya imagining himself with Zoe, even though we see so few interactions between the two of them, like, it literally just seems like, well, she's the girl, so that's the one I want. Like, or, I mean, that's not what I mean. I'm not actually implying that, like, in the show, he should have expressed gay feelings to have desired him to be with someone else. But I guess I'm just frustrated that, like... there is a girl around, and even though we didn't see Koji imagining himself also sitting on Zoe's lap, whatever, not sitting on her lap, his head in his lap.
That would be a little different.
But And we've so often seen JP fantasize with a future with Zoe or whatever. It's just like, having all of these boys, I mean, we've only canonically seen two, fantasize about being with her, even the ones that don't have any actual chemistry or like show desires, literally, outside of these dream sequences, it's just so gross and so
At this point, I would argue that she does have the most chemistry with JP. She's always left with him.
Like, I know. Yeah. They have a weird, like, we got to take care of everybody. We're the mom and dad thing going on. It's weird. Like, it's weird. I don't want to ship it, but at the same time, like...
It's the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I don't ship them, but I'm like, these two make really good friends once JP's not hitting on her all the time.
But he's always... Always.
Yeah, he's always kind of hitting on her.
Right, like sometime in the distant future when JP has, like, matured beyond this and, like, doesn't hit on her all the time, like, that, sure, there'll be a totally different dynamic, though. Like, JP. JP's kind of the worst.
But, yeah, like, I imagine them, like, hanging out, and then Zoe's like, he's definitely given up on her, and she wants to get him a girlfriend. I almost said boyfriend.
I mean, he wants Koji, so she could help match them up together. Unanswered questions.
Thor Trip invincible?
We always say why at the beginning of every thing. Every time we do unanswered questions.
Why was this so boring? Also, are the Trailmon invincible?
Yeah, the life cycle of the Trailmon did not, I don't know how that's supposed to work.
Like, Cherubimon threw Angler, like, he derailed Angler, then threw him, but it was comical because he said something in German as he was flying away. So, like, I mean, to me, I'm just like, yeah, he's probably fine.
We wouldn't want that to be his last words. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah.
I can't speak German.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I loved that Hulu did not know what to do with his German.
It's true. It was like German accent. German. Sometimes it would get it. Other times it'd be like, I don't know, German.
I guess that could explain the, like, because I'm pretty sure we had that, like, protracted debate in the not last episode, the episode before that, about which Trailmon had a voice that one of us read as being coded as gay or stereotypically.
No, it wasn't this one, though.
It was not Angler.
What about Mole?
I don't remember.
What about Worm? What about Dark? What about...
It was not also, dark.
See, also, Jeffrey, now we're never going to know.
We can rewatch that episode.
No.
I find it frustrating that all the Trailmon are like Trailmon, parenthesis, blank, and parenthesis, except for Dark Trailmon, which is just Dark Trailmon.
What is Dark Trailmon doing? What's he doing?
He's just chilling in the station to take people back when they go on an emotional crisis. I wrote down one answer question in the shared doc. I wonder if anyone knows what it's referring to.
But.
Is episode 35? Is it episode 35?
Oh. Are we talking about JP's butt or Zoe's butt? Or
why would you go for JP's butt first? Why'd you gravitate towards JP's butt?
Because there was that one scene
in the Trailmon episode
where he's cowering and it's just like close up on his butt.
Yeah.
this is not JP's butt. It's the standard, it's the canonical frontier butt.
The canonical frontier butt.
It's Kazemon's butt.
Yes.
Are we talking about how she tried to butt down the mirrors?
Yeah, like everyone else does their attack and succeeds, and then she tries to butt slam it. And
her butt is just not... Her Keijo training has failed her. She has not trained hard enough for the Keijo at this point.
I mean, it's like, it is the one thing, it's like, this is just a physical body part. Like, I don't think it would ever have been practical to, like, smash...
The worst part of it is that in the recap for the next episode, Rika says something like, when they tried their hardest to, like, do whatever, and it's just a clip of her failing to, like, break it with her butt, and I'm just like, no! God.
God is made of butts.
God is made of butts. That's an interesting theory. Okay.
You can't disprove it.
I can't disprove it.
I know it, now, sure. Without a doubt, Kingdom Hearts is butts!
I enjoy how happy Asher was to say that.
I wanted to pause and have Asher do it, but then I was like, is he gonna, like, pick up on the signal to do this? Like,
you know it!
So enthusiastic. I mean, again, why did the 10 warrior people set up a checks and balances of three people when there are two factions? That's a bad system.
Yeah, and also just, like, the presence of, like the way, Asher, you were describing it before, was that, like, those are the three celestial Digimon, those are the three that exist. And it's like, okay, could see that, but in what form did they, were there just these super strong Digimon that existed in the world when they defeated Lucimon? Like, just chilling, waiting?
I don't ask Digimon Frontier about its plot. Really?
I don't ask.
When you watch it,
you're just like,
it.
I accept that.
I accept this train with one car being at a 90-degree angle.
Okay.
You just accept
so
it.
So we're talking about a screenshot from listener. What is his actual handle? I can find it on the Fetages account.
Steven Reeves.
Yeah. So we're talking about a screenshot from listener Steven Reeves, Wild164 on Twitter. And it's a screenshot of Takuya looking out of Trailmon window at another Trailmon? The same Trailmon?
No. I put it in the correct place.
Oh. Well, yeah. But so, like, without seeing the rest of the shot that it's in, I assume this was the, he was looking out at the end of the train. That, like, this would be the door you would take to open, you would open this door to go to the next train.
Wasn't it totally two different trains, though?
No.
Bro, even, what, Jeffy, that doesn't make any sense either, the way this shot is framed.
It still doesn't make sense, but it, like, makes more sense than there just being another trail line perpendicular.
Yeah, but I was confused about this, too, because I was like, didn't they get out of the train and weren't there two trains at that station for some reason? It was, I don't understand.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the train he's on, because it stays like this for a while, from what I remember. Yeah.
And he's looking out the side window? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a side window, because you can see the other, doors, and there's circle windows.
I'm pretty sure it's a side window.
When was it?
That was after Koichi joins them.
Yeah, and they have their awkward,
what's up, brother?
On the train.
What do brothers do?
Before nothing. That, right?
They text each other at stupid times.
What, how do you really feel, Ash?
It's just very strange when Andrew calls me. He never calls, and then he does, and it's like, who's dead?
And he's just like, explain origami.
It's like, I was not prepared for this moment. I have not eaten dinner yet.
I'm going to start calling you randomly, Asher, and see how you react.
I will probably not pick up.
Wow.
Well, it depends on when you call me. I am, like, at work and in class, like, all the time.
Ridiculous dialogue draft, baby.
Before we each go around and pick our funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching line from the episode, we're only picking one because these episodes are boring as hell.
My pick is from episode 32, and what happens in episode 32? Is it when they're like searching for Koji? They're searching for Koji, right?
Episode 32 is yeah
okay. So and it's when they're like they don't know where to search for Koji. It's the people who aren't with Koji. It's like Takuya went off to search for Koji too, and then the cheerleaders are left with Patamon, and Patamon's like light boy, whatever, and also says like a bunch of other stuff. Says,
come see Koji. Follow me to Koji. See.
Well, it rhymes, but the syntax is dreadful.
Wow. Okay. Mine is from episode 30. It is in the first clear thing of what is happening to Koichi with Cherubimon. Cherubimon says,
you have my attention, boy. The darkness in your heart drew me straight to you. Your loneliness and sadness, your angry soul, it's like honey to me. Sweet, pained darkness.
Darkness?
I like you.
Wait, he said all of these things.
It's
so amazing.
What?
Why?
And that is the end of the exchange, and it's great.
I don't believe this actually happened.
That totally happened. It was super weird.
Super weird, strange, and great.
We didn't talk about Cherubimon X Koichi as a ship.
Yeah, that.
Oh, no!
Apparently,
no.
All you need to do to like get rid of Ash is say the wrong ship, and then
yeah, and then he's like, I hate
it's true.
You.
It's true. I have very strong feelings about ships. Apparently, No. All right.
But what's your
turn?
Ridiculous dialogue?
I don't remember what episode this was in because my notes are just dead. But it's the episode where they're awkward on the train, which I think is like 35 or something. And JP says, the atmosphere is obviously really tense. And JP says,
come on, people. Why don't you lighten up here?
I'm light.
I was like, what is this? Who wrote this episode?
Well, you're assuming that someone wrote it, and it didn't just happen.
You know, you're right. I should not make that kind of assumption. You're right.
All right, Andrew, what's your submission to this?
Well, mine is really bad. So in the last scene on Digimon thing in episode 35, the narrator, who is not Rika, mentions,
but their new bud Oryxmon Fruity was bad to the bone.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, definitely not Rika. What are you doing? But it was great.
And that's probably the only time we're ever going to use the opening narration.
I was really hoping that definitely not Rika would be funnier than she actually is.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the season.
I do feel bad for her throughout. Like, she mentioned something being exciting or something at some point. I'm like, you wouldn't be excited by this. You wouldn't care. This is character assassination.
Yeah. It is, basically.
It is time for our penultimate segment.
Terminal Judgment!
I'm glad the sound clip happened for you.
I am too. I did not remember. I did not choose his name a season ago, whatever, because I knew it was a Trubimon attack. Like, I was blown away. I was like, wait, what'd you say?
Bro, what'd you say, bro?
I chose the name because of computer terminals felt like it fit Tamers, and train terminals felt like it fit Frontier. And yeah. And if I'd known it was a Trubimon attack, I would have been using that sound clip this whole time. anyway, yeah. Any last thoughts about the arc before we give it a...
This is the worst that Digimon has ever been. Period.
So far.
Yes. Way to be optimistic.
Yeah.
It can always go down.
It just keeps spiraling out of control here.
Ugh. I mean, we're going to start getting into the Royal Knights now, right? I have no...
Yeah.
No optimism. No hope. Yeah. So nothing
Ashley,
at all.
You, like, Ashley, you say it's the worst Digimon's bit. Like, do you think it was really worse than the Beast Spirit chunk in Frontier?
Yes. 100%.
Actually, can we rank the arcs we've covered so far? Now, this is our fourth... So we have the Human Spirit arc, the Beast Spirit arc, the Sakakumon and Kuya Tokyo arc, and then the Rose Morning Star arc.
Okay.
So Ashley, do you have your ranking?
Sure. I would put the Sakakumon arc first. I would put Beast Spirit second, because at least there were silly people in it being silly, and like they were angering, but like they were more interesting than Duskmon. then Human Spirits, which was garbage because the kids were all garbage in the beginning. And then this, because it just bored me out of my mind.
Asher? Sure.
I don't know.
Don't even bother asking me.
I mean,
yeah, like...
Okay, instead of, like, ranking the other three, like, do you think this would be near the top, near the bottom, in the middle?
Near the bottom. Okay. Absolutely.
Same.
my ranking would be Sakakumon first, and then Rose Morning Star second. Hate is gonna hate.
Wow, I'm leaving. I'm getting a snack. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know if I can actually back it up with... It's just, like, my own personal enjoyment. I feel like so many episodes have been built up to the Trubimon stuff that, like, even though the episodes themselves don't pay off much of that well, it still feels like the most hype and feels like the stakes are the highest, and they are. But... And I feel like that's what I... Looking at this point, looking back, like, I look back at the earlier stuff, and I'm like, oh, I barely even remember much of it. It felt so bleh. And at least this is bleh for a purpose. I don't know. I'm so hesitant because I probably will come to change the decision later on. Looking back at the season as a whole, I probably won't keep this the same way. But then, Sakakumon, Rose Morning Star, then Human Spirits, then Beast Spirits.
Wow. Yeah. You are a rebel without a cause.
My cause is protecting Trubimon's honor. Too many people.
Shut up. Let's lock in our MVP.
No. I had one discussion point which didn't come up. What does everyone think about Emperor Greymon and Magna Garurumon?
Oh, I hate his accent.
Oh yeah, it's the same actor, right? It just sounds older. Takuya or Emperor Greymon.
No, he's putting this weird, just the way he speaks is really annoying.
I thought he was just trying to sound older, which didn't seem warranted.
He's trying to sound like a knight. He's trying to sound British, like a British knight. And it's really obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. I like his design far better than Altamon.
That's definitely true.
Magna, whatever. No, I could do without him.
Magna Garurumon's design. I think he's fine in the abstract, but then whenever they zoom in and show just his face, his face is weird, weird looking.
Also, without his armor on, he looks way more kendo than kendo Garurumon.
Well, Lobamon had the kendo attack,
I don't know.
A side thing related to them. I really digged the animation of their evolution sequence where all the different spirits are flying in and around. And
honestly, that's out of all the ones in Frontier, that's my favorite.
Hmm.
But and it also has to do with the song that plays in the Japanese version.
Oh, I haven't checked which one that is.
I'm pretty sure it's With the Will.
What are we talking about?
Oh, well, With the Will plays during all of them.
No.
Yeah. With the Will plays in episode one with the human spirits.
Does it?
I'm definitely sure about that. I'm not sure if it plays during all of them in between, but definitely, I think it's in all of them. I think there's a different one for the final evolution sequence. Anyway, it's also seeing all the spirits flying around is the first time I really realized that it is a pretty big tall order to have these 10 legendary warriors and two, there are 20 different designs they had to have. And I don't know, looking back on it, I'm that was actually we diss Frontier for being really sloppy and really bad and boring and all this stuff. But they had these 20 different characters they introduced, and all of them felt like they had their time to shine. And we don't look back and they're all great, but they did explore a big cast of characters, and I don't know, is on some level impressive.
Whatever. I messed up. It's the last element that plays during this one.
Oh.
Yes, Hyper Evolution.
MVPs?
I was trying to see if I could get the last element to play during the background while we say MVPs. And now, to the background music of Last Element, what are our MVPs for this arc?
Am I going first?
Yes, actually, you need to match his epic music. Just am I going first? I don't know, awkward silence. I'll go first just to get it. Well, I'm gonna go first. Oh, Oryxmon, what?
Yes! Troll vote is trolling.
All right.
He's dead.
To the bone.
Oh, boy. My vote is for Cherubimon.
Really?
Your vote would be for Cherubimon, you loser.
It's for Cherubimon just because, I didn't feel like anyone really stood out in this arc, and the things I liked about it were the backstory and Cherubimon having a coherent plan. You know, it obviously fell apart, but, it was surprisingly coherent for Digimon, so I'll applaud him for that. Although, seeing his AMV that I'm watching in the background, Emperor Greymon does look really cool, so if I didn't choose Cherubimon, it would be him, but it's Cherubimon.
Okay.
Yep.
All
still right. Takuya.
That is still Takuya. My pick is Patamon, because he's the only one who, gets us rolling. These stupid kids. These stupid plot.
The light boy, the light boy. This way.
Patamon is Jerry, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Voice, yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
Well, now you know.
Yeah,
now I know. Now I know I can do a Jerry impression. Who knew?
Who knew?
In case I edit it out and I and Ashley sound randomly really hype, I was playing Hyper Evolution. Oh, and I need to keep playing because Andrew needs to pick his.
Yeah, and why are you stopping it?
I was also going to pick Patamon.
Oh.
Stopping bros. Picking the Patamons. All right.
Okay.
We didn't explain the fantasy draft.
The fantasy draft. So we just picked our MVPs for this week, and though that means that anyone who picked those in their fantasy draft teams get points, but we also have other ways you can get points. Fantasy draft is a thing where we post on social media and the website, and you reply on social media or on the website to pick a fantasy draft team with a human character evolving into a Digimon character, and Yeah, we also award points to the most, how do we describe it? The most ridiculous and the most desired. There's one word. I always want one word to describe them. I can never think
of it. Most desired and most off the wall, I guess.
Oh, no. Most desired and most WTF.
Ah,
I think that was the most concise way. Yeah. So, yeah, you can pick them. Coming to the end, if you're listening to this now and you haven't participated in the rest of the season, there are only, I think, two more shots? No, three more. Including
no,
the movie,
there's
I think.
Three more shots.
Yeah. So it is possible to make that up. That's three out of seven. I think one of the people who got second place in the second season, like, shot up from the middle of the season because they got a bunch of the WTF or desired points. You can make back a lot of points if you get all of our votes for WTF or desired team. So, yeah. Participate.
Plus, if multiple of us have, like, there was times last season where we all picked the same favorite,
right.
So then you could get 4 points off that, and then if you also monopolize the other things, it was like, all right, yeah, you could get a jillion points.
Yeah, I think in a recent round, as of the time of recording this, there was someone, like, a bunch of people got points for Tommy, because no one expected Tommy to be picked, and then we did, like, two of us picked Tommy, and then,
yeah.
And, yeah, by the time you're listening to this, we mostly post them on social media, and you can reply on social media really easily, but if you don't use social media, or if you want to, you know, like, submit your pick for the next episode now, not without waiting for social media, we always, on the sidebar of the website, have, when we have a, like, we'll have saying when the next episode is predicted to come out, and there'll always be a link to submit your fantasy draft right there. So, you can always do that instead of waiting for social media. So, do that. And now, it is time. Did you all catch when Trubimon said recommendation articulation? It was great.
No.
I was like, wow, you totally confirmed my pick of a title.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure.
No one said that. Ashley, you want to start off?
Sure. I recommend that you read the books and short stories and cultural criticism written by Roxane Gay because she's great. And Jeffrey, stop changing everybody's thing to Breath of the Wild.
I retained half of Roxane Gay. I changed it to Breath of the Gay.
I needed that. Now I don't remember what I was going to recommend. Yeah.
It was Alice is Not Dead.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, Roxane Gay has a really... Her stuff is hard to read. It's very dark. Asher would not like it. Don't read it, Asher.
Wow. Okay.
It's very... It's like dark, sexy violence against women.
Wow.
Stuff. It's hard.
I definitely wouldn't like it. Wow.
And Asher is like, I hate this person already.
I don't hate her.
You hate what she writes.
I would not enjoy that. No.
Yeah.
That was a good instinct telling me not to read that. But probably it's good quality. Ashley and I may differ on like every issue of content that we enjoy, but we do. I respect Ashley's.
Yeah. We agree on the same values that we want from the thing.
Yeah.
We just get there in different ways.
Totally.
Yeah. Her most recent book is called Difficult Women. It is about the difficulties of being a woman and also women who are perceived as difficult by garbage patriarchy. The end. She's also been in the news lately because she pulled her book from Simon & Schuster because they were publishing Milo blah 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 plus book.
Gannonopoulos.
No, I don't want to pronounce his name correctly. Don't try.
I don't think it should be about like whether his name is hard to pronounce or not. Not wanting to say his last name because he's a garbage person. I'm totally behind that. Milo bullshit. Milo bullshitter.
Yeah. Milo BS person. So she was like, I'm making the very hard. It wasn't for this book. It was for a different book that hasn't come out yet. Like her memoir or something. Yeah.
It's called Hunger, apparently.
Yes. I can never remember, like, she has too many books, and then I'm like, is it that one? Sure.
I'm going to recommend another podcast. It's called Alice Isn't Dead. It's by the same people that do Night Vale, do Welcome to Night Vale. It's written by Joseph Fink, in particular, and performed by Jessica Nicole. It's the story told in sort of audio diary format of a woman who goes trucking across America to find her missing wife. It's very creepy. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it's fantastic so far. And I recommend it highly to anyone who enjoys sort of subtly creepy, but beautifully written stories. And beautifully performed, too. Jessica Nicole's voice is very interesting.
Since this vaguely has to do with Shibuya, I'm going to recommend Supergals, which is a kids anime that aired actually around the time of Frontier. And basically, it can be described as Sailor Moon without the magical girl stuff. So just girls hanging out, and occasionally there's darker stuff like gang violence, abuse, relationship type stuff. And it's really, really well done for the age demographic.
Cool.
If Digimon existed in the Supergirls universe, all the characters in Supergirls would probably get there first. And they would probably be better characters.
Okay, my pick is unsurprising. It is Zelda Breath of the Wild. I definitely in a minute can't explain why the game is so great, so I'll just explain why I went into it expecting nothing. Every Zelda game that had been announced prior is always announced and hyped up with its theme. You know, like Ocarina of Time being like time travel, Ocarina, Wind Waker, Exploring the Ocean, Twilight Princess, Wolf, Skyward Sword, Sword, Wiimote stuff. But this was the first time that a Zelda game was announced, and the core thing that was hyped about it was its gameplay, was like the mechanics of the fact that it's an open world, and I hate open world games, and the fact that there was no other aspect of the theme that was really hyped up at all, and it was just, it's an open world, it's such a good open world. I was like, I really don't buy this is gonna be any good, and I'm really not looking forward to this at all. And now after playing it for 15 hours, I think it's the best game ever made. So yeah, I think that's all.
Too bad you're playing on the Wii U version.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, God, you're playing the inferior version.
Anyone in our Slack knows that I had a long debate trying to, because I basically was like, I shouldn't play until I get a Switch, and then because I'll be playing it in the ideal, optimal way. And then I eventually caved and got it on the Wii U. And it's amazing.
Because we all berated him. We were like, you're wrong.
I mean, I bought the Wii U version and the special edition Switch version marked up because it's not available. It was through a reseller. And so because I'll someday have a Switch and someday play it on there. And it came with a nice case for the Switch, which I'll someday have. Anyway, yeah, if you want to actually find out, hear why it's good, if that informs your decision, if hearing about why I thought it'd be terrible doesn't inform your decision, there are lots of podcasts and reviews and stuff you can find, because it is great. But you can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigist.com/404. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode, like which ship we talked about disgusts you the most. But you can also go to the episode page to vote on your favorite ridiculous dialogue draft pick and to rate how much you like this arc. You can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, the Digimon subreddit there for this episode, or just by playing emo soft rock loud enough, just by playing fake Nickelback loud enough that we hear it.
If you want to be featured on the next feedback episode, you can also answer our voicemail question. What is the most romantic ship in all of Digimon, and why? Do we have a loop of Careless Whisper?
Sexy voice.
Oh, you think my voice is sexy? All right. You can either call 913-Kalumon if you're in the U.S. or email an audio recording, 90 seconds or less, to podigious@gmail.com.
Our new Agunimon artwork this season is by Jubia Majo on DeviantArt.
Podigious is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patrimon, Diabjomon, the famous Tokujo on Twitter, Joe Keto, Kai Lunamon, Kaiser Washi, Michael Penny, and Red from fellow Digimon podcast Breakfast with Digimon, our ultimate Patrimon, Alvaro Crimson Mode, David Graumon, and Marcus, and our mega Patrimon, Sam Kriwagamon, who's on the Moncast, which compares Pokemon and the Digimons. We don't know what the Pokemon is. And he would like you to check out his partner's Tumblr, purple-pixel.tumblr.com. You will find cute drawings there.
If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon. For $1 a month, you can join our private group chat on Slack, where lately everyone has been telling Jeff that he's silly for waiting to get Zelda until he got a Switch.
Yeah, Jeff, play it on the Wii U!
Do you come to regret that now that I've played it for 15 hours over the past, 18 hours?
I don't care. I'm leaving for a week. You can play all the hell you want.
That's all my life's gonna be.
Yeah, I know.
And then looking back, I'm going to associate it with sadness because I'll be lonely. And then,
great. That's my goal. Sabotage your feelings about it.
You can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scenes notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10, ability to choose episode topics for $15 a month, and a monthly Skype hangout with Jeff and Ashley for $25.
You can find Poddigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. You can not really find me on Tumblr at Asher Dashery. Ashley's on Twitter at
AshMcD00.
Andrew's on Twitter at
Drew Softman.
And Jeff is, I think, on Twitter also at
AshMcD00. AshMcD01.
That'd be cute, actually. That would be cute.
Really, it should be AshMcD009.
Yeah.
Can you say my thing over? I'm definitely Jeff on Twitter. That's me. Yeah. Okay.
Share the podcast with your friends who would jump in front of a giant bunny and take every hit for you. And don't share the podcast with your friends who would keep the fact that you have a twin brother from you for your entire 12 years of existence.
And join us in 2 weeks as we enter the critically lauded Royal Knights arc.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. Shalom aleichem, shalom.
That's no. You're mixing up Hava Nagila and Shalom aleichem.
Those are totally different.
Hava Nagila is for weddings and not for Shabbat. Although I guess you could. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Although I will say Chag Purim Sameach. It's Purim. Andrew, are you there?
I've pressed it. But also, I'm mad that Jeff is not playing Zelda naked.
What? Why are you mad about that?
Apparently, you unlock new dialogue, like characters look away from you if you're naked and stuff.
Oh, you mean if Link is naked?
Yeah, not Jeff.
I was really confused, Ashley.
That's my style. I like to watch Jeff play video games.
I'm glad that's gonna be the first thing on this recording. I'm glad we started recording and that was what you said.
You're welcome.
The Shinkansen can only run up to 200 miles per hour.
What if there were a sequel to Speed on a Shinkansen?
It would be over in like 10 minutes.
But like I wonder how far the Shinkansen can go before it has to stop. Ooh, I want this to be made. Japan, are you listening? Japan, if you're listening, make a, what's a good pun? What are the other Speed movies? They must have subtitles. They have pun subtitles.
There's only two.
I thought there are two sequels, right?
No, there's only two movies.
No.
There's Speed, and then there's Speed 2 Cruise Control.
There's no Speed 3?
No.
There isn't. Interesting. Okay, so it's just Cruise Control. Speed 3,
There is no Speed 3.
No, I'm designing Speed 3 right now. Hold on, I need to look up an idiom dictionary. Okay, Speed 3, Bite the Bullet Train. Come on, Japan. Okay. You can do it. Now.
Jeff, please do not go to Hollywood.
In episode 30, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? A.K.A. Red Bull gives you wings! Trubimon gives ducks...
Duxmon. Duxmon and Duxmon. Just say, I like it.
Duxtales. Woo.
No, imagine, Duxmon is just tormented by this, trail of ducks following him around all the time. That is Duxmon.
Is it his DuckTales?
This would be better than Frontier, actually. So. Trubimon is... Yes, it is DuckTales, the bird. That's what we should see. No.
Left to their own digivices, the side characters beat a dead train full of German accent jokes.
Okay, how great is left to their own digivices?
That was really good. I actually really liked that.
I was frustrated. I'm like, oh my god, it's taking us 4 seasons and I just thought of that joke. Oh no.
Wow.
Okay, Jeff is getting kicked off.
Doing this for, what,
2.5 years, man?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's almost 3 years.
Is it almost three? That's disgusting.
Oh, no, it is. Oh, it's really close. I mean, we've been recording for three by now, I think, because we released at the end of March.
We
released a couple days before Google released their April Fool's joke, which turned into Pokemon Go eventually.
Oh, yeah.
it was the thing where, like, in Google Maps, you could see Pokemon, which then people were like, but let's make it a real thing.
Yeah.
I remember at the time I was worried because I was working on Apple Maps. I was working at Apple on Apple Maps and then released a Digimon podcast. And then a couple of days later, Google Maps was like Pokemon. And I was like, oh no.
Trouble
at work.
No, I was mostly like, wow, Digimon, you made some sort of compelling backstory. And you just, of course, you squandered it, but like, that's nice.
Like the way you outline that makes me so curious. Like I wish there were a showing of the Sword Art Online movie nearby to bring you to. Yeah, you can watch
no,
it.
No, why? Don't get what? How did we get here?
Because I think it is a similar, like, there are really interesting concepts that it plays with. It doesn't pay them off super well in the end, but
that's what Sword Art Online is good at, and I just don't have time for that.
I think that's all we got.
Yes.
Oh, the Patreon topic.
Yes.
Are you saying it in Trubimon voice?
No.
You're saying a weird voice. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Gollum, thanks.
They're all digital constructs in a digital world, so you can write off everything.
We are living in a digital world, and I am a digital girl.
No. I don't know how to salvage a podcast where Barbie
songs come up. That was not Barbie Girl. Do not. That was Material Girl by Madonna. You get the hell out of here.
Okay. Was there a parody cover of Material Girl made about Barbie Girl? Am I confused?
No.
They're different songs. They're just different songs.
My point still remains, though.
No.
Not Real Brothers. That's why he thinks about fictional brothers, to not have to think about his real brother.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro.
Right. Actually, I love you, Andrew. The fact that you called me yesterday to tell your friend to watch an Origami meant a lot to me.
What? I didn't know how to explain it.
What? Andrew just called me out of the blue, like 6 o'clock yesterday, like, here, talk about Noragami. And I was like, who am I talking to? Who are you giving lying to? You did not set me up for success, Andrew.
Yeah. Good.
But I think he sounded into it.
Oh, boy.
All right.
No, but I would be the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but Duskmon.
The one, like, only has one leg or something?
Tis only a flesh wound.
I don't know anything.
I should show you Monty Python at some point.
But
tis only a flesh wound.
Yes, yes. I'll bite your legs off.
Yes, yes. What? Was that in Monty Python?
No, yes, yes wasn't, but I'll bite your legs off was.
Oh, okay. I thought that was, like, a brotherly, like, thing you would threaten as kids. No. I'll bite your legs off.
No.
That's implausible.
First of all, we never fought.
What?
Because I am way stronger than him and he would lose.
Okay, wait. I am seeing that apparently the Washington Post has a new slogan and it's democracy dies in darkness, and that's amazing.
What?
Oh my god, I don't like this tweet. Which is so fitting for Digimon.
It's literally what happened in the episodes we watched.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. This is amazing.
What? That's so strange.
Neymon's a beast type Digimon?
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those hard sex beasts.
Yeah, obviously.
And remember, never stop digivolving, unless you're the only two characters who ever get to digivolve. And in that case, you should probably stop occasionally to think about how other people could be digivolving too at the same time if you didn't hog all the spirits.